This is a health warning from Dr. Approved Medical, America's trusted resource for back braces. If you're 65 or older and suffering from back pain, you may qualify to receive an advanced pain-relieving back brace at little or no cost to you. Many people are now using our pain-relieving back brace as an alternative to surgery or harmful medications and experience pain relief that they haven't felt in years. Don't let your back pain turn into something worse. Remember, if you qualify for no money out of pocket, there's nothing to lose and only real pain relief to gain. Our friendly team of experts will handle all paperwork and we'll deliver it for free. 800-507-1148. Your pain-relieving back brace may be covered by Medicare at little or no cost to you. Call our hotline now and get free shipping, plus a complimentary, easy-to-use pedometer. 800-507-1148. 800-507-1148. 800-507-1148. Little to no cost with full insurance payment, copay, and deductible. Supply promo subject to qualification while supplies last.
Live, worldwide, Sports Byline USA. And here's host, Ron Barr.
And wherever you might be across this great country of ours and around the world, I'm Ron Barr. Good to have you with us for another edition of Sports Byline. And this being a Friday, we'll check in with Roy Eisenhart as we do every Friday. Lawyer, former president of the Oakland A's when his family owned the team, and now he teaches law and sports at UC Berkeley. We've been doing it together for this segment for a little bit better than 2 years, and it's called Inside Angle, as Roy and I try to look at some of the interesting stories in sports, break it down for you, give you a little bit better understanding of the issues in that story. And one of the things we'll talk to about is fan protection at ballparks. As you know, more and more fans are getting hurt, and last year at Dodger Stadium, one woman was hit in the head. She passed away. Also, it's interesting what Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, has to say about the use of owners, meaning the word owners in the NBA. It's fascinating. And then, of course, as you know, the Tampa Bay Rays, there's been talk about splitting their season between Tampa Bay and Montreal, which doesn't make any sense to me, so we'll get Roy's thoughts on that. If you're into sports collecting, memorabilia, the person joining us this hour will be Sal Berry, as he's a writer for the Sports Collectors Digest, Beckett Publications, and the Hockey News. He also has run a website called Puck Junk, which focuses on hockey collectibles and culture, and was the hockey collectibles expert on XM Radio, and he's collected sports cards since 1985. And my good friend Scott Hamilton will be here as well, champion figure skater. He won the 84 Olympic gold medal in men's figure skating. He's also been inducted into the U.S. Olympic World Figure Skating Hall of Fame, four-time U.S. national champion, four-time world champion. And, of course, you've seen him on television commentating for CBS about figure skating. And he started the touring show Stars on Ice, and he has a wonderful new book out that is fascinating. It's about his career, but also about how you achieve greatness and success. It's called Finish First, Winning Changes Everything. Don't forget, coming up next week, since it's going to be a short week for us, with the holiday, we're going to take 3 days off, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. But we have the Best of Sports Byline with our vast library, so that'll come your way. But I see Dave Stewart will be here on Monday, and one of the guests on Tuesday will be Charles Haley, the Hall of Famer. So we're ready to go. Good to have you with us on Sports Byline.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. Do not forget to buy lentils, or the lentil soup you're making for dinner will be sorely lacking. By the way, Mrs. Calloway says thanks for helping her bundle home and auto. She appreciates the extra savings, even though you kept using the word apropos incorrectly. But the main thing is, do not forget to buy, what was it? Something apropos the lentil soup. Sorry, I'll call you back.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Money Now 100 is not a lender, broker, or agent of any lender or financial advisor. We do not make loans or credit decisions. You must be 18 years or older and a U.S. resident to qualify. This is not an offer or solicitation to lend. I went to MoneyNow100.com and got the $5,000 I needed deposited in my account the next business day. If you need money for any reason, help is here. Go to MoneyNow100.com and get the money you need. Need to pay off credit card debt? Go to MoneyNow100.com. Need your car repaired? Need home improvement money? Visit MoneyNow100.com.
If you need fast cash for any reason, go to MoneyNow100.com. Good, bad, or no credit at all. Go to MoneyNow100.com. You could get up to $5,000 as soon as the next business day. Go to MoneyNow100.com on your phone, tablet, or computer. Type in the address bar MoneyNow100.com. That's MoneyNow100.com.
You know that maintaining your home indoors and out means working with the best brands. Lowe's helps you do it right by carrying trusted names like John Deere and Craftsman, and we help you save on them too. Now when you buy a John Deere Z-Track zero-turn mower, get a $200 Lowe's gift card via mail-in rebate. And you can get your choice of a Craftsman 20-volt max cordless string trimmer or a Craftsman two-tool 20-volt max power tool combo kit for $99. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offers valid through 6/26, U.S. only. John Deere offer excludes California, Alaska, and Hawaii.
I'm pretty handy around the house, but now that I have kids, I don't want to spend my Saturday installing a toilet or fixing an air conditioner. But thankfully, there's HomeAdvisor. HomeAdvisor helps me find the best home pros in my area to handle any kind of project. You can read reviews of the pros, check their availability, and even book appointments online. And what my wife loves most is that HomeAdvisor is completely free to use.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app to get started.
HomeAdvisor.
Let me ask you a question. How do you feel about genetically modified ingredients?
Don't like them.
Artificial flavors and colors?
No thanks.
Clean ingredients.
Now that I like.
When you care about what's in things and what's not, shouldn't your vitamins be clean too? Sundown Vitamins are all clean all the time. Non-GMO, free of gluten and dairy, with colors and flavors from real food. We even have USDA certified Sundown Organics and kids vitamins too. When you're living clean, choose clean with Sundown Vitamins at supermarkets, drugstores, or on Amazon.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Time to check in as we do each week with Roy Eisenhart for a segment we call Inside Angle. Roy, of course, a lawyer, former president of the Oakland A's when his family owned the team. And now he teaches law and sports at UC Berkeley. Well, Roy, I see the discussion, and it seems like we've talked about this since we launched the show 2 years ago. The discussion on safety for the fans at ballparks is heating up again because there's been more and more incidents in which fans have been hurt by foul balls. We had the young 2-year-old that was hurt at a game in Houston, and we've had a woman that was hit over the weekend at Dodger Stadium, and last year a woman who was hit at Dodger Stadium also passed away. And so now the Dodgers and the White Sox are a growing number of ballparks that are deciding to extend the netting all the way to the foul poles. And there's been some outcry because some fans are saying, well, you know, I've paid for season tickets and I don't want that to be a part of my baseball experience. What are we missing here? And also, the Major League Baseball really hasn't taken a firm position on this issue.
Well, I guess the question is, what are the fans missing who don't realize that safety of the general people in attendance is more important than their personal convenience? But I guess it's like people who don't like speed limits. But what I'm missing is the length of time it took to do this. It's pretty clear that the risk to fans was significant and increasing for reasons I'm not sure, but nonetheless, it was increasing. And the efforts to extend the netting just past the dugouts, which was the first step they took, struck me as in a way exacerbating the problem because it made people who were not in that extended area feel as though they must be safe because they hadn't extended the netting out there. And of course, that's not the case at all. So I think finally the ball clubs are starting to do the right thing. I think once a couple of clubs do it, as they seem to be doing, I think most of the clubs, not all, will do it. But it creates the question for the clubs who don't do it as to what their liability is if somebody is injured. So it's going to be an interesting legal question going forward.
Yeah, let me interject something here. First of all, isn't this something that should have been done by MLB?
Well, I think the leadership should have come more
right.
strongly from MLB. There's a sense of autonomy for how each club runs its parks, but I think there is also something called leadership, and I think that would have led to what hockey did. Hockey, all the hockey rinks put in netting after that young woman was killed at the game. So I think this has just unfortunately come too slowly, but it seems to be finally happening.
I would also think that from a liability standpoint, if you have somebody at a stadium that doesn't have the netting, that that would make it even difficult for the team to defend themselves when there are other stadiums that do have it. Am I correct in that observation?
Yeah, that's a very good observation. There's an old case about what the standard of care should be for ships and whether they had to have radios or not. And once some ships started having radios, then they all had to do it because it's at a kind of a new level of duty to the people aboard the ship, and it'd be analogous here. Now that some clubs are extending it, then all clubs really are exposing themselves if they don't extend the netting as well.
I know when your family owned the Oakland A's, you always would say to people in the media and others that you were caretakers of the franchise, and I always thought that was very enlightening. So with that in mind, as NBA teams make some major moves in the offseason, a potentially less noticeable change is already occurring throughout the league. According to Commissioner Adam Silver, the NBA is continuing to move away from the use of the term owner to describe those with controlling interest of teams in favor of the terms governor of the team and alternate governor. And that change was made due to concerns that the term owner can be viewed as racially insensitive in a league where the vast majority of players are African American and the majority of owners are Caucasian. And while the league itself stopped using that term years ago, individual teams are now starting to follow suit, something that Silver was asked about. And he said, I don't want to overreact to the term because, as I said earlier, people end up twisting themselves into knots, avoiding the use of words. I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, it is. It's an interesting point. I was always just intuitively uncomfortable with the term owner. I kept saying, if we're an owner, what we own is the license to run a baseball team. We don't own the players. We own a contractual relationship with the players. That's all. But I still was uncomfortable with the term, and I think others were as well. And we tried to avoid using it whenever we could. We called ourselves custodians because the concept was we were custodians of the franchise for that was a privilege that was shared by very few other people in operating a baseball team. So we like to think of it as a responsibility, not an ownership position.
Yeah. Do you think that will catch on with the media? Because they're the ones that always refer to the person that's in charge as the owner, not as a governor.
I think that'll take a while. I'm not sure I'm crazy about the term governor. That has its own semantic connotations, but I'm not. We're in search of the right word here, and franchise holder maybe, but nothing works. The important thing is the awareness of the issue. Whether you come up with exactly the right word is the second level of an inquiry, but the first is to be aware of why the term owner has adverse implications.
You and I have talked numerous times about youth sports, and there was an ugly incident in a game near Denver with young kids that were playing. A large group of coaches and parents disagreed over a call made by the game's 13-year-old umpire, and as tensions rose, the group clashed on the field as the game's 7-year-old players watched from a distance and ran toward the outfield, with all of it captured on video and shared on social media. And I think probably a lot of our listeners have certainly seen that video. And, of course, now they're trying to figure out who the people were that were involved in that. But I have seen that happen, not to that degree, number of times when I've gone out just to sit and just observe a little league game or a soccer game or that sort of thing. It's the ugly part of youth sports, in my opinion.
Yeah, and that video went viral.
Yeah.
As we've talked, we tend to think of youth sports as just this nice, cozy little thing that runs sports for kids. But it's actually an $18 billion industry in the United States. It's bigger than the NFL. And there's a lot of good things that youth sports does, but getting the parents over involved, getting coaches attacking umpires, as this seems to be the case, and not giving kids the good example of what sports should be about at their age. It's not about winning or losing when you're 7 and 8 and 9 years old. So the this is the dark side of youth sports, and I don't know if there's a solution to it, but I think the people who run these leagues and these organizations have to really clamp down, particularly on parents. I'm going to put the biggest load on parents because they're the ones out there yelling at the umpires, yelling at the kids and acting out their own frustrations for not having made the major leagues or whatever the case may be. So I that's where I put the biggest, I point the biggest finger.
We've got about 90 seconds left. I haven't had a chance to talk to you about this. It was rumored that they're considering in Major League Baseball the Rays splitting their season between Tampa Bay and Montreal. Your thoughts as a baseball man?
Well, that strikes me as a solution in terms of in search of an idea. I saw that, and I just didn't get it. I don't see splitting between a city that where the team, the Tampa Bay Rays, is struggling to try to get a new stadium, try to get fan loyalty and so forth, and then taking half their games away and moving them to Montreal, a city that in the past failed to support a baseball team, and that's why the Montreal Expos ended up moving to D.C. and became the Nationals. So it seems like you've taken a problem and doubled it in my judgment, but I will defer to the experts at Major League Baseball who seem to think this is an excellent solution. I guess we'll see.
You call them experts. I wouldn't use that word. That's too kind for them on an idea like this.
I had quotes around that term. You just didn't see them.
In 30 seconds, is there an answer for the Florida problems with baseball, you think?
I don't understand why Florida has such difficulty because the Marlins and Rays both have tremendous difficulty, and I would think that those are that Florida is a state where you'd have a high support of baseball, particularly given the number of Latin American players that are in Major League Baseball. But for some reason, it just has not clicked. That if it was ownership at initially setting a bad tone or what, I don't know. But it's weird to me. I cannot explain it.
Thanks a lot, Roy. Great insight on all these subjects. We'll talk to you next week, okay, my friend?
Thank you, Ron.
Roy Eisenhart, again, lawyer, former president of the Oakland A's, and now teaches law and sports at UC Berkeley. And if you have a question for Roy, just email me at ron@sportsbyline, and that's B-Y-L-I-N-E. So it's ron@sportsbyline.com, and Roy and I will answer that question on the air. We've got you on America's Sports Talk Show.
It has been said that everyone has a book in them, but do you have the time or the ability to write your book? Maybe you picked up some skills or had a life experience that you want to pass on in the form of a book to help others. Maybe you want to leave an autobiography for your family, or maybe you've built a successful business and you want to share your story. At Dorrance Publishing Company, we have professional writers who can help turn your book idea into a finished manuscript quickly and affordably. A Dorrance ghostwriter can provide as much or as little help as you need to complete your book. You'll work directly with your ghostwriter to finish your book faster than you ever could on your own. It's easy to become a published author. Call Dorrance now to learn more.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. Call right now. That number is 800-485-6003.
Are you an active stock market investor? Well, then you know these three key words: buy, sell, hold. Those three magic words can make or lose you money in the stock market. What if we can show you a time-tested tool that's been helping stock market investors succeed for over 30 years? It's called VectorVest, an amazing system designed to make smart investing easy. The VectorVest system analyzes, sorts, and ranks over 19,000 stocks every day and tells you when to buy, what to buy, and when to sell any stock to maximize your profits in less than 10 minutes a day. And if you call right now, you can test drive our amazing VectorVest system risk-free for 30 days for just $9.95.
800-584-2519. 800-584-2519. 800-584-2519. That's 800-584-2519.
If you or a loved one is suffering from a physical or emotional condition that has left you unable to work, then listen carefully. Take this number down. 800-593-7491. That's 800-593-7491. When you call, you'll speak with a Social Security disability expert and get a free evaluation to see if you may qualify for disability insurance benefits from the U.S. government. That's right, a monthly cash payment paid directly to you from the Social Security Administration. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied disability benefits, call now. The disability attorneys at Pinnacle Disability can help you build your case, file an appeal, and represent you at no upfront cost to you. Don't wait another minute to see if you may qualify for your Social Security disability benefits. Call Pinnacle Disability Group at 800-593-7491 for your free case evaluation. That's 800-593-7491. 800-593-7491. Call now.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
As we do each week, we check in with Sal Berry. He joins us on Sports Byline for the segment we call The Collector's Corner. He's a writer for Sports Collectors Digest, Beckett Publications, and the Hockey News. And he also has run a website called Puck Junk, which focuses on hockey collectibles and culture. And he was the hockey collectibles expert on XM Radio, and he's also collected sports cards since 1985. Well, let's get to the thing that's most important to you, the announcement earlier this week of the Hockey Hall of Fame class of 2019. I know you've got some thoughts about those that have been elected, but let's talk about the snubs. You were kind of a little bit upset about some of them.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I've been counting now. I mean, Jeremy Roenick retired in 2009. He would have been eligible first in 2012. And here we are in 2019, still no Jeremy Roenick in the Hockey Hall of Fame. That rubs me the wrong way, because in the 90s, he was a very exciting player. In the 2000s, he's a very exciting player. And he has over 500 goals and over 700 assists. But, you know, the trackers will say, oh, yeah, but he never won a Stanley Cup. And it's like, so what? Sometimes winning a Stanley Cup is just being lucky enough to be on the right team. Maybe in Roenick's case, he's one of those players that help a team win a Stanley Cup. But, I mean, you know, I'm sure you could name tons of players who have had wonderful careers, but they didn't win the championship with whatever team they were on.
Yeah, what about Doug Wilson?
Oh, that's another one from Chicago. So I know I'm sounding like a little bit of a homer here. I mean, Doug Wilson was the best defenseman in the league. I mean, one year he won the Norris Trophy as best defenseman. He has the most points of any defenseman who's not in the Hockey Hall of Fame. He has 827 points in 1,024 regular season games. I mean, so he was scoring like almost a point a game throughout his career. I mean, I remember one season he was the team's leading scorer for the Blackhawks, and then when the San Jose Sharks came in, he was like their best player because he has to be traded there. I mean, honestly, I think that's why he's not in the Hall of Fame. He was he was a union rep for the Blackhawks, and so Doug Wilson was always clashing with the union leader, Allen Eagleson, who was later found out to be corrupt, and also with the owners. So a lot of the old school, old guard types don't like him because he was, I don't want to say a rabble rouser, but he stood up for players' rights as a union rep. And I feel like he's paying for it now.
And just for the record, Daniel Alfredson was not elected. Alexander Mogilny was not. But let's talk about the four players who were. Your thoughts about them briefly that were elected, the four players.
I mean, Sergei Zubov was a great defenseman, and I mean, he makes sense as a Hall of Famer. Guy Carboneau, I'm very surprised by. I mean, he's a great defensive player. I'm surprised that Carboneau was elected before Alfredson or Roenick. Vladislav Nedimansky is a bit of a surprise to me because he was okay in the NHL and the WHA. I mean, he was a good player, but really his Hall of Fame career, if you look at it, you know, it includes his what he did internationally. I mean, internationally he was a great player for Czechoslovakia. But I was still surprised because he had been out of the game for such a long time. And then Hayley Wickenheiser, no surprise there. I mean, she played 23 years. She won 4 Olympic gold medals, if I have my count correct, and 7 world championship gold medals. I mean, so, you know, she was amazing. So no surprise that she's in right away.
Let's talk collectibles. I see Donruss has just released a WNBA trading card set. And this is the first time there has ever been a standalone card set for WNBA players. I'm surprised to hear that because the league's been around a long time.
The league's been around a long time, and you might find WNBA players sometimes included in parts of other sets. I know the Upper Deck does that a lot with hockey. Like a couple years ago, they did like a lot of the different women Olympian players as like an insert set in their mainstream hockey set. But like as far as basketball, yeah, I mean that league's been around a long time, and this is the first time. It's a pretty small set, so they're kind of going conservative with it, like 100 cards. So it wouldn't be too hard to build. There's a lot of autographs in the set that you could get, which are pretty, you know, obviously that's appealing. I know like many years ago, I did a, maybe like 5 years ago, I did a conference and I talked about sports collectibles. And somebody in the audience asked me, they said, how come there's no cards of women? And I said, you know, that's a very good question. There's just, I mean, there's always this, well, maybe there's not enough interest in it or whatnot. So I think Donruss is proving that there could be, or they could prove that there could be interest in trading cards of women's leagues. So I think this is really exciting. Also, related, Panini released a sticker set of the Women's World Cup for this year. But, you know, not the same thing, obviously, but still kind of exciting.
Yeah, it is. By the way, we talk often about the value of something, and I see that a complete 1987-88 Fleer basketball set was recently sold for $45,000. Tell me about that set.
That is ridiculous, because you can buy that set. I looked on eBay today just to know, because it's a set I'd like to have. Now, the 86-87 is the one that has Michael Jordan's, what's considered Michael Jordan's rookie card. And I say considered because there was another company making basketball cards before Fleer in the 80s, but a lot of people don't like those for reasons, which I won't get into. But anyway, so 87-88 has the second year Michael Jordan card. It's a set that you could get for under $200 complete on eBay. And yet somebody shelled out $45,000. Why? Because every single card, all 132 cards, were graded at PSA 10. Now, that sounds all nice and good until you think about lately where there's PSAs come under a lot of scrutiny for people submitting cards that have been trimmed or altered or otherwise modified. So, you know, we don't know what a PSA 10 means anymore. But for this person, it meant a lot. It meant $45,000 for a 132-card set. So, wow.
Yeah, we've got about 4 minutes left, and the thing that excites me is I see Topps has a set out 150 years of baseball. Now, this would be something I would be interested in. Tell me about it.
So what it is, it's what they call a print-on-demand set, and other companies do this, and Topps have done this with something where that they call Topps Now, where, like, if a player has a memorable game or a player sets a record or something, the next day they'll say, hey, we're selling this card. It's only available for a day, and it's $10. And if 100 people order it, they print 100 of it. If 1,000 people want it, they'll print 1,000 of it. With the Topps 150 years of baseball set, each week they're issuing three cards. They're $8 a card, or you could get all three for $15. And they're basically highlighting past moments in baseball history over the past 150 years. One thing that's interesting about these types of sets is the print run is limited to however many people order it. That's why it's called print on demand. So, you know, the more popular players, their cards are going to be printed more because more people are going to order it. Whereas, like, maybe the less popular players or less popular moments or whatever, maybe it won't have the same print run. And I'll give you, for instance, a couple years ago, Topps did a Topps Now card about the Chicago Fire soccer team ending the, like, longest road losing streak in, like, Major League Soccer history. And, like, almost nobody ordered the card. Like, 77 copies of the card were made. That was it. So it was just kind of infamous that, like, it had such little interest among collectors that they didn't even make 100 of them.
What's the pros and cons of this?
I think with the pros is that you buy exactly the cards that you want, and it's unique, and it can be limited because, you know, again, the print run. But like with hockey, like Upper Deck does a similar set called Game Dated Moments, and I just buy the ones that I want. I'm not interested in buying all 200 cards or however many that they put out. The cons is that it's expensive to build. I mean, already they're at 51 cards, and even if you do like $8 a card or three for 15, this is getting very pricey. And I mean, even, you know, you buy a card and you think, hey, this might have some value later on because it's of a popular player. They're printing thousands of them. It's 1,000 people order it. So it's not as limited as you think it could be sometimes, depending on demand.
We only have a minute left, but I wanted to ask you this question. With the economics of professional sports being what they be, and the movement of athletes from one team or another, how does that affect fans collecting a card when he might have been with that team last year and this team in after free agency?
Funny, because you'll see fans, sometimes fans will just say, I'm still a fan of this player, and they'll still collect his cards. I've had friends who have insisted on still collecting a player regardless of what team he plays for. And then I've seen other people dump their collections because they say, well, this guy doesn't play for my favorite team anymore. I have no interest. And a lot of times I'll see this on Twitter, you know, with card collectors that, you know, I follow and follow each other. They'll be like, hey, looking for a fan of this sport or this team. I'm dumping off my cards of this player who now plays for your team. Let me know if you want to buy them. So you do see turnover when the player gets moved.
In about 20 seconds, do people not buy team sets as a whole anymore?
They do. I think they like, I mean, yeah, I mean, especially like a younger collector might just want the cards of their favorite players or their team. So yeah, that's definitely an option. And you could find those sometimes at the stores for like $5-6.
Be sure to check him out because he writes the Collector's Corner right here. Of course, he's with us, but he writes for the Sports Collector's Digest, Beckett Publication, and the Hockey News. And I know you've got a couple of big stories coming out, so we'll check in on you and see if you can tell us a little bit about them when they're about to break. Okay, my friend?
All right, thank you.
Okay, Sal Berry with us. He joins us each Friday for the Collector's Corner. And if you'd like to email me at ron@sportsbyline.com and have a question, I'll pass it on to Sal. We continue with more of you and America's Sports Talk Show.
I've recently discovered the powerful health benefits of CBD oil. I have been using New Leaf Natural CBD oil for some time now, and I love it. CBD oil is non-intoxicating, which makes it ideal for people like me. I want the health benefits of cannabinoids, but I don't smoke weed. I never will smoke weed. Mind-altering effects I do not need. CBD is non-toxic, has potent pain-relieving, and is anti-inflammatory with its properties as well, and that's why the brand I trust the most is New Leaf Naturals. New Leaf Naturals is the highest quality CBD oil on the market, 100% organic, highly concentrated, no additives, grown in the U.S. The only ingredient is hemp. It is pure and simple. Go to NewLeafNaturals.com. That's NewLeafNaturals.com. Save 30% and receive free shipping in the U.S. when you use the promo code Rick. That's right, Rick. Go to NULeafNaturals.com, promo code Rick.
You'll do it right to make your home look its best, indoors and out. Lowe's does it right, too, because we're the only national home center that carries Purdy paintbrushes and rollers, the number one brand preferred by pros. So if it's good enough for pro jobs, you can be sure it can take on yours. For your outdoors, update your patio furniture and save big with up to 25% off patio clearance items. Whatever your next project, do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offer valid through 6/26. Selection varies by location while supplies last. U.S. only.
Attention. This important consumer alert is brought to you by Annuity Action Network. Hey, did you know it's possible to receive upfront money from your monthly settlement payments? It's true. If you receive monthly payments from an annuity or a structured settlement and you need a lump sum immediately, then you need to call Annuity Action Network. With your cash today, you can pay off credit card debt, pay medical bills, fund your education, or improve your home. You don't need to wait. Call the Annuity Action Network now to get your fast cash with no hidden costs. And if you call today, we'll even send you a $100 cash gift card just for verifying your settlement payments and your contact information. If you have a structured settlement or an annuity and you want cash now, call Annuity Action Network right now.
800-514-9170. 800-514-9170. That's 800-514-9170.
The backyard's looking great, Rob.
Thanks, man. I was planning on adding a deck, too. Know any good contractors?
Why don't you just ask HomeAdvisor?
Home what?
HomeAdvisor.com. You just tell them about your project, and they match you with local pros that can do the job.
Nice. Now, how much does it cost?
Oh, Home Advisor's totally free to use. Plus, you can read customer reviews, check pricing, and book appointments for free.
What's the website again?
HomeAdvisor.com. Or just download the free Home Advisor app.
Home Advisor.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Always nice to have a good friend join us here on Sports Byline. I've known Scott Hamilton for a long time, champion figure skater who won the 84 Olympic gold medal in men's figure skating. He's also been inducted into the U.S. Olympic and the World Figure Skating Halls of Fame, four-time U.S. national champion, four-time world champion, began commentating for CBS soon after he turned pro and has covered numerous Olympics and championships as a broadcaster. And, of course, he started the touring show Stars on Ice, and now he has a wonderful book out that I can recommend to you. We're going to make it a selection of the month on Sports Byline. It's called Finish First, Winning Changes Everything. Scott, I'm looking at the back cover, a picture of you on the ice, on skates, with your hands raised above your head, and it says, Scott Hamilton is a living example of good guys who finish first. He's a New York Times best-selling author, Olympic champion, cancer survivor, broadcaster, motivational speaker, author, husband, father, eternal optimist, and it only left off that on your days off, you walk on water.
Well, you know, a big part of the book is, you know, talking about failure. You know, that says a lot of victory there, but there's been a mountain of failure attached to all of that. And so the book is, you know, it isn't all about, you know, kind of my me. It's like I'm sort of a guide. You know, I'm here to guide people to finding their purpose, and then here's a guide to being better than you ever thought you could before. And it's really, I'm sort of the guide. And so the idea is, you know, so much of our culture is starting to kind of give up. You know, it's like, you know, we're into this kind of, I hate to say it, participation trophy world. And, you know, and then, you know, you get into a situation where, you know, we just lose hope. And there's so many things I think all of us want to do with our lives, and to be busy and productive, and to really, you know, feel special. And the whole idea of Finish First, too, is it's kind of an aspiration, right? It's like we all want to be recognized in some way for something. And I always had those dreams growing up, but I had to figure out how to not come in last anymore. And so it was this process of, you know, really figuring out where I was okay, kind of doing an inventory. Where am I okay, and where do I need to really look hard at myself and, you know, and say, okay, you're not very good at this. So it all kind of boiled down to compulsory figures. I was not good because I hated them. You know, I just didn't like it. So helping people, you know, kind of process failure, helping people understand critics, helping people, you know, really just sort of figure out a way to be their best selves is kind of, for me, such an important message, especially now in our history.
I knew this was a different book because, as you know, every book has things on the back where somebody is recommending it with a line or two. And I've never seen a book that had a chief balloon inflator as one of those people.
Bob Goff, he's a great friend, and he's, you know, really been one of my great champions. And so for him to get behind this is really wonderful and remarkable and incredible. I'm just so blessed by him.
Scott, what is the difference between finding success and accepting mediocrity?
Well, that's a great question because, you know, it's like, it's all personal. I mean, it's like, I don't know, it just comes into, you know, the fact that, we all have goals, we all have, you know, dreams, and all the things that we really want to do in our lives. And it just comes down to what is Finish First? What is that for me? What does that look like? And I go to, you know, I go to the Olympics in 1980, and for me, Finish First meant that I was going to come in the top eight. That's all I cared about, was somehow breaking into the top eight. And so being fifth was like, for me, I won the gold. I didn't care about fourth, third, second, first. I didn't care about any of that. I was so thrilled with the fact that I was able to do better than I thought I could. And that's kind of the whole idea behind, you know, creating a more victorious life is, what do I need to do to be better tomorrow or closer to my goal tomorrow than I am today? And it's a process. And I kind of describe that.
There is a line in this book that I think kind of sums up a lot of things. You say, I have some bad news for you. You were not born a winner. And I think that that mindset is the type of thing that you have to address in the early part of your life, is it not?
Well, I think that, you know, we all want to feel like we're just by being here, we're okay. And I think that, you know, that's a beautiful way to think. And we are. I mean, you know, there's only one of us. And so that makes us perfect, right? Over 7 billion people in the world, and there's only one you, and there's only one me. So in that way, we're kind of unique and perfect. It's just, how do we leverage our skills in order to really, when we take our last breath, knowing that we lived our lives productively, joyfully, victoriously, how do we do that? And it's sort of like, you know, so many people I know have sort of kind of like, no, I what if I fail? And it's, you know, I try to, you know, repurpose, re-describe, re-label, re-evaluate what failure is and how important it is in our lives. You know, we need to embrace failure and wrap our arms around it and go, thank you, because it really gives us feedback on where we need to go. It doesn't always necessarily have to be debilitating or horrible or humiliating, embarrassing, whatever. It just needs to be something where we can look at that and say, okay, all right, that's in the past. Let's keep moving forward. And how do I do this? So a lot of us, you know, we have so much potential and so much opportunity, and there's so much there to mine. It's like, yeah, we weren't born winners, but man, we can certainly build something that, you know, allows us to feel really productive and really good about ourselves, and to see that we're taking advantage of our identity, our skill sets, and to do wonderful things.
And you talk from a personal standpoint, because you write in the book, I was an unwanted child given up at birth by my biological mother and adopted at 6 weeks of age by my parents. And then you go on to say that on top of that, I battled a rare and undiagnosed childhood illness that had started at the age of 4 and came with all kinds of unpleasant symptoms. The worst of those symptoms was stunted growth, which left me shorter and smaller than all of my classmates. I remember being teased and bullied. What was the turnaround point? What point and what was the mindset that allowed you to turn it around, that attitude?
Well, the main thing was, you know, I wanted to include that because, you know, here I am telling people, they, you know, that they have something more in them that they never realized. But I had to, you know, allow them to compare it to something. I'm the last person, if you saw the ingredients of who I am and my background in my life, I'm the last person you'd ever think would win anything. And I think for me, it was, you know, it was this sort of, hey, go get me a beer moment, you know. We were at my first national championship, I fell 5 times and came in dead last in front of 17,500 people. And it was the most humiliating moment in my life. And this kid my age said, hey, go grab me a beer. And I go, oh, it's right there. Grab one yourself. And he goes, no. I have something to lose. You don't. And it was sort of like, ow, is that what people think of me? Is that their opinion of me? And I just sort of had to take a step back and say, no, I'm not somebody that is dismissed, or I need to work harder. And so the next year I really felt like I applied myself, and I still came in ninth. You know, so it's a process. I mean, it's the long play. It's not something that you're just gonna decide today and it's gonna get better. You need to kind of figure it out. I mean, it comes with a big decision and that you really want to go for this. And then in the process, you know, things are exposed. Things are brought to the surface. Things are, you know, and it's like, well, I thought that was my plan, but my goodness, this now is in front of me, and it seems like this would be a better choice, you know. And you never know, you know, where these epiphanies are going to come from. But for me, it was I didn't want to be a loser anymore. And then I realized that it looked like I was working hard, but I really wasn't. You know, it was like I didn't know how to work. I didn't know how to train. I didn't. And, you know, I would get on the ice and I'd spend time and I would do, you know, kind of, I guess, the bare minimum of what, you know, it's what it looked like I was, you know, actually getting the work done, but I really wasn't. And once I realized that my skating life was very, now it definitely had a ending point. I might as well just go all in this year. And when I decided, you know, okay, it's my last year in skating. I'm, you know, my last year in junior level, and I'm just going to go on to college next year. And I guess that's it for my skating. I decided, well, as long as it's my last year, I might as well go all in. And I ended up winning the junior national title that year. And, you know, it's just when you apply yourself, when you put yourself into a situation where you're going to go all in, you know, then all of a sudden it changes everything. It changes the process. It changes the outcome. It changes, you know, how you feel about yourself and about whatever you're pursuing. It just takes on a different identity. And from then on, you know, next year, of course, I went back to my losing ways. I call it the trifecta. You know, I turned 18, I was sponsored, and I got my own apartment. That, for any parent, is, you know the disaster that is, because I had no ability to look after myself. I knew that, and yet I still did. But it was when I lost my mom that that was my all-in moment. It was like she only saw me that once at my best, and every other time she saw me at my worst, and she sacrificed everything to keep me in skating. The least I can do is honor her every single day I'm on the ice. And from then on, you know, it was a different mindset. It was a different commitment level. It was a different, you know, I was not going to give up. I was going to work. I was going to try new things. I was going to, you know, try to break ground. I decided I wanted to be special. And so in that decision to want to be special, good things started happening. But it started with the first things first, you know, show up every day. And then see what happens after that, you know, with a clear intention. You know, I show up every day with intention, and boy, that changes everything.
We only have about 2 minutes left, but, you know, winning and finishing first means different things to different people. And you have a chapter that says what it means to finish first. And you say, to me, winning is not about holding a gold medal, losing 20 pounds, getting a promotion, or seeing my name on a plaque. You say, in fact, I won a gold medal in 84, and I thought that was an interesting section and also statement to make.
Well, you know, winning it means something for everyone. You know, I realized that victory in 84 was built on, you know, like 1,000 small victories. You know, it just doesn't happen when you show up at the Olympics and it's like, ta-da, here I am. You know, it's about the process, and it's about learning, it's about growing, but you know, that Olympics, you know, it changed the trajectory and the opportunities that were in my life. And from there, you know, you just say, okay, back to work. And it's a new type of work. Now I have to figure this one out. So it's a never-ending process. But with each little victory, it's like, you know, finally figuring out a way to get an A in math. Like, when you do that, holy cow, it changes everything. And so the whole idea of winning changes everything is, if you take on this commitment with intention and the mindset of doing it over the long haul, I mean, it changes everything in your life. Everything just, you now have an opportunity to blossom into a person that you never even imagined before.
We've got about 30 seconds left. Scott, what do you want people to take away from this book?
That there's so much in them that needs to be nourished. That there's so much in them that, you know, that I want them to understand that we all have an identity. We all have a purpose. We all have something really, truly special to share with the world. And, you know, let's just get to it. Let's figure out what that is and then just be as good as we can. This life is not a rehearsal. It's the performance. So we might as well do it as well as it can be done. And at the end of our days, know that we did it joyfully, productively, and victoriously.
Scott, I want to thank you. Thank you for your friendship over the years. Not the number of times we see each other, but the quality of the time when we spend or talk together. I thank you. Congratulations on this book. As I said, we're going to make it a selection a month on the Sports Byline USA Book Corner. Take care, my friend.
You're the best, Ron. There's nobody like you, and I'm so proud of what you've accomplished and what you share with your talent and your ability. I mean, you are the epitome of finish first.
Scott Hamilton with us. We continue on Sports Byline.
World Sports Memorabilia and World Games present the biggest event of the summer, Super World Con, at the Santa Clara Fairgrounds in San Jose. Meet 49ers legend Joe Montana, Mr. Primetime Deion Sanders, Patrick Willis, George Kittle, Frank Gore, and other 49ers. Baseball superstars Orlando Cepeda, Ricky Henderson, and Jose Canseco. Boxing greatness Julio Cesar Chavez, Juan Manuel Marquez, Eric El Terrible Morales, and Marco Antonio Barrera. Also, live lucha libre with Mexican superstar Juventud Guerrera, Lucha Underground, Drago, Puma King, Mecha Wolf, and many more. Also, the voices of Dragon Ball Z and the Sandlot Gang, June 28, 29, and 30th at the Santa Clara Fairgrounds in San Jose. Tickets, superworldcon.com or call 408-286-2151. 408-286-2151.
Remember in the beginning, when you first started to build a life for you and your family, you never imagined it would come to this. Instead of living your dreams, you're living with debt. In fact, it's smothering you. Now there's a way you can take back control with one simple call. If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you qualify to receive a free, no-obligation consultation on how to get rid of that debt for good. Call the Debt Helpline now. We work on your behalf to reduce your debt. We specialize in credit cards, retail store cards, and medical bills. One simple call is all it takes to get the ball rolling to a debt-free life. Stop living with debt and start living your dreams. Call the Debt Helpline now.
800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. That's 800-957-6063.
Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Clapper, Chief of Orthopedic Surgery at Cedars-Sinai Medical Group in Los Angeles, California. Dedicated to your health, your life, and your sports. As a weekend warrior, you know about sports injuries and pain. Exercise is an important element in keeping your body's core in good shape to minimize sports injuries. But when you are in pain, there is one product that I recommend to my patients, and that is Blue Goo Gel. Blue Goo consists of a proprietary formula developed specifically for the treatment of inflammation and general muscle aches and strains. I recommend Blue Goo for my patients coping with hip and knee pain before surgery, especially bursitis and tendonitis. Give Blue Goo a try. Call 1-888-330-0123 and you'll receive a one-week supply of Blue Goo absolutely free. The makers of Blue Goo are even paying the shipping. The number again is 1-888-330-0123. If you want more information on Blue Goo, visit online at www.dothegoo.com.
Now available at select Big Five stores near you.
This is America's Sports Talk Show. Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
That's going to wrap up this hour of Sports Byline. Speaking with Scott Hamilton, has a book out. I recommend it. It's called Finish First, Winning Changes Everything. And, of course, Scott, champion figure skater. He won the 84 Olympic gold medal in men's figure skating. Also been inducted into the U.S. Olympic Figure Skating Halls of Fame. And Scott is a four-time U.S. and four-time world champion. Sal Berry dropped by, as he does every Friday, with the Collector's Corner. So if you're into sports collectibles, be sure to join us each week for that. And also dropping by, as he does each week, Roy Eisenhart for the segment we call Inside Angle. And we talked a little bit more about fan protection at ballparks from foul balls. Hang around. We've got more coming your way on America's Sports Talk Show.
This is Brian Alvarez with Wrestling Observer Live, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, daily replays, 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Broadcasting Network.
You're listening to the Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Breaking Supreme Court news, a controversial citizenship question will apparently not be added to the 2020 census based on a Supreme Court ruling that came down just a short time ago. Chief Justice John Roberts joining the court's four liberal justices in a 5-4 ruling against adding a question to the census about whether respondents are U.S. citizens. Legal analyst Andrew Napolitano.
This is a significant defeat for the Trump administration and for the president personally, who, of course, wanted this question on there and I think had understandable reasons for wanting it on there.
He was speaking on Fox News. The high court also punting a key case involving the political process of drawing congressional districts or gerrymandering. The justices say they can't decide an issue that should be up to state lawmakers. The ruling 5-4, and this is USA Radio News.
Between the unbeatable performance and lower operating costs, electric cars are going places like never before. In fact, a survey by Drive Change Drive Electric tells us that 8 out of 10 Northeasterners agree electric is the future of automobiles. Travel expert Zach Houghton.
The vast majority of Northeast drivers, about 3 in 4, believe it's important to move towards electric cars, and 88% also want to reduce their vehicle emissions. So while drivers are interested in these cars, the problem is that most of them don't understand how and where to charge or even realize that charging stations are available to them.
Houghton told us a new campaign called Destination Electric hopes to change all that by celebrating businesses that support driving electric in communities across the Northeast.
Destination Electric businesses all have a storefront decal to alert visitors that charging is nearby. So far, over 100 local businesses have joined Destination Electric to demonstrate their support for electric cars and to let their customers know that they could be charging while they visit.
Visit Drive Electric US to learn more.
Just before President Trump departed for the G20 summit in Japan, he said of efforts to get a trade deal with China.
They want to make a deal. They want to make a deal more than I do. Let me put it that way.
Okay.
That's the president speaking after he called into the Fox Business Network yesterday morning. Now there's a report that the Chinese president will present President Trump with terms for a trade war settlement when the two meet on Saturday at the summit. The Wall Street Journal says the proposed deal calls for the U.S. to lift its ban on selling American technology to the Chinese tech giant Huawei and calls for Trump to remove all tariffs on Chinese imports. Last night at the first Democratic presidential debate, 10 of the hopefuls took the stage in Miami. Tonight, another 10 will be taking that stage, though Bernie Sanders and frontrunner Joe Biden are not taking part in this first debate. The government says the U.S. economy grew at an annual rate of 3.1% in the year's first quarter. And this is USA Radio News.
Here's a great deal on MyPillow. When you go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, type in promo code USA, you'll get two MyPillow premium pillows for $69.98. Now, that's only $34.99 a pillow. You will not get that price anywhere retail. It's the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. And like all MyPillow products, 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, use my promo code USA.
A passenger jet's been cleared to continue on to Newark's Liberty Airport in New Jersey after a threat forced it to make an emergency landing in London a few hours ago. Air India says a bomb threat forced that landing of the flight out of Mumbai that was headed to Newark, the plane getting checked out at Stansted Airport and given the okay to keep going. No further details have been released regarding that threat. More testimony is being given in the war crimes court-martial of Navy SEAL Eddie Gallagher. Another Navy SEAL, Joshua Graffam, was deployed to Iraq with Gallagher, acting as a spotter, and he testified yesterday Gallagher fired his sniper rifle at a man because he thought he was an ISIS fighter, not a civilian. Other witnesses claim Gallagher intentionally fired on Iraqi civilians. Gallagher faces life in prison if he is convicted. It appears a so-called straight pride parade to be held in the city of Boston on August 31st is a step closer to happening. It appears City Hall has signed off on it, but the event does still need some approvals, including from the Boston Police Department and the city's licensing board. Organizers of the parade say it's aiming to celebrate the, quote, diverse history, culture, and contributions of the straight community. Critics of the parade say it's meant to mock the LGBTQ community. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
This is a health warning from Dr. Approved Medical, America's trusted resource for back braces. If you're 65 or older and suffering from back pain, you may qualify to receive an advanced pain-relieving back brace at little or no cost to you. Many people are now using our pain-relieving back brace as an alternative to surgery or harmful medications and experience pain relief that they haven't felt in years. Don't let your back pain turn into something worse. Remember, if you qualify for no money out of pocket, there's nothing to lose and only real pain relief to gain. Our friendly team of experts will handle all paperwork and will deliver it for free. 800-507-1148. Your pain-relieving back brace may be covered by Medicare at little or no cost to you. Call our hotline now and get free shipping, plus a complimentary, easy-to-use pedometer. 800-507-1148. 800-507-1148. 800-507-1148. Little to no cost with full insurance payment, copay, and deductible. Supply promo subject to qualification while supplies last.
Live, worldwide, Sports Byline USA. And here's host, Ron Barr. And glad you could join us for this hour of America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline. I'm Ron Barr. We're coming up on another anniversary on Sports Byline before too long as we celebrate another year spending it with the fans across the country and around the world. As we were the first Sports Talk Radio Network, which was launched with just 12 radio stations back in 1988, and now we have over 200 radio stations. We're on Sirius XM. You can hear us on the in-flight audio of many of the major airlines and also on the American Forces Network. So if you're traveling overseas, you might find an AFN outlet. There's some 500 stations in 177 countries and also on the Digital Talk Network as well. I'll tell you what's coming up in just a moment, but I always like to tell you about our website because we're particularly proud of it. Are you a weekend warrior like me? And as you get a little bit older, you know, your mind says you can do certain things, but your body doesn't let you do it. Or if it lets you do it at the moment, the next day you pay for it. Well, we've got something on our website that I think you will really enjoy. It's called our Sports Byline Medicine Minute. And what you can do there is go and search the different subjects, and our doctor goes ahead and talks about them, some of the things that you can do to prevent injuries, and if you get injuries, what you do after you get them. So check that out. It's on the homepage, the Sports Byline Medicine Minute. In the studio with us is a young lady that I met a number of years ago, former professional tennis player, and she was a pretty good one. Didn't win a lot of, you know, big-time tournaments, no major tournaments, but she was somebody that came off of the public courts in San Francisco. Great story. Her name is Peanut Louie Harper. Peanut won 14 junior national titles, and she was the top-ranked 16 and under tennis player in the United States. And she made her professional debut back in 1976 in the U.S. Open. And in her 19-year career, she won four singles titles. Now, Asian Americans as professional tennis players, I think you can only count them on your fingers, in a sense. Michael Chang comes to mind, of course, but she and her whole family were kind of tennis players. Her brother played tennis. Her sister was a tennis player as well. Her husband is a teaching pro tennis player, and all five children were top junior players, and her sister Marcy preceded Peanut on the WTA Tour. So we're going to be talking with her to find out what it was like in her family and growing up and learning the game on the public courts. When we come back, Peanut Louie with us and you on Sports Byline.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. Do not forget to buy lentils, or the lentil soup you're making for dinner will be sorely lacking. By the way, Mrs. Calloway says thanks for helping her bundle home and auto. She appreciates the extra savings, even though you kept using the word apropos incorrectly. But the main thing is, do not forget to buy, what was it? Something I proposed, the lentil soup. Sorry, I'll call you back.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Money Now 100 is not a lender, broker, or agent of any lender or financial advisor. We do not make loans or credit decisions. You must be 18 years or older and a U.S. resident to qualify. This is not an offer or solicitation to lend. I went to MoneyNow100.com and got the $5,000 I needed deposited in my account the next business day. If you need money for any reason, help is here. Go to MoneyNow100.com and get the money you need. Need to pay off credit card debt? Go to MoneyNow100.com. Need your car repaired? Need home improvement money? Visit MoneyNow100.com. If you need fast cash for any reason, go to MoneyNow100.com. Good, bad, or no credit at all. Go to MoneyNow100.com. You could get up to $5,000 as soon as the next business day. Go to MoneyNow100.com on your phone, tablet, or computer. Type in the address bar MoneyNow100.com. That's MoneyNow100.com.
You know that maintaining your home indoors and out means working with the best brands. Lowe's helps you do it right by carrying trusted names like John Deere and Craftsman, and we help you save on them too. Now when you buy a John Deere Z-Track zero-turn mower, get a $200 Lowe's gift card via mail-in rebate. And you can get your choice of a Craftsman 20-volt max cordless string trimmer or a Craftsman 2-tool 20-volt max power tool combo kit for $99. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offers valid through 6/26, U.S. only. John Deere offer excludes California, Alaska, and Hawaii.
I'm pretty handy around the house, but now that I have kids, I don't want to spend my Saturday installing a toilet or fixing an air conditioner. But thankfully, there's HomeAdvisor. HomeAdvisor helps me find the best home pros in my area to handle any kind of project. You can read reviews of the pros, check their availability, and even book appointments online. And what my wife loves most is that HomeAdvisor is completely free to use.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app to get started.
HomeAdvisor.
Let me ask you a question. How do you feel about genetically modified ingredients?
Don't like them.
Artificial flavors and colors?
No thanks.
Clean ingredients.
Now that I like.
When you care about what's in things and what's not, shouldn't your vitamins be clean too? Sundown Vitamins are all clean all the time. Non-GMO, free of gluten and dairy, with colors and flavors from real food. We even have USDA certified Sundown Organics and kids vitamins too. When you're living clean, choose clean with Sundown Vitamins at supermarkets, drugstores, or on Amazon.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Peanut Louie joins us on Sports Byline. She's in the studio. I've known her ever since I came to San Francisco back in the 70s when I was a television sportscaster here. She won 14 junior national titles, was the top-ranked 16 and under tennis player in the United States. She made her professional debut at the U.S. Open, and in her 19-year career, she won four singles titles. And Peanut, the first thing I remember about you when I came to San Francisco was how small you were, and I couldn't put together big-time tennis and Peanut Louie. I mean, there's something wrong with that picture. Why were you able to play professional tennis as well as you were able to play it?
You know, I think back in those days, which is a long time ago now, it was physically, the girls were just, you know what, just more average size now versus, you know, pretty muscular, pretty athletic. And it wasn't really until Martina Navratilova really just changed the whole game by, you know, making it so physical. And, everyone started getting a trainer, and it was kind of like if you didn't have a trainer and didn't kind of spend as much time off court working out as you did on court, you know, you were left behind. So it was really kind of just either start getting in shape and doing a lot of off court training, or you're going to be left behind.
You know, what's interesting is the fact that you followed the path that the Williams sisters did. You kind of grew up on the local courts. You played your tennis out in Golden Gate Park. You didn't play it at a country club. You didn't go to one of those tennis academies and everything. But you are Chinese-American, and that's not something that you connect with the sport of tennis as well. Your whole family, all the kids played tennis. Tell me a little bit about how tennis came into your family's life.
I'm always very surprised, you know, how our family just ended up, every single one of, you know, I have three sisters and a brother, and we all ended up with tennis careers. My oldest sister, Marcy, played on the pro tour before me. She wasn't one of the originals with Billie Jean and Rosie, but she was like the second generation. And, you know, I asked my mom all the time, how did we all end up in tennis? And it, you know, she just says it was just, you know, a great place to put the, you know, keep the kids busy and healthy and keep them out of trouble. And so just putting us in tennis, and she loved the game. So it was just something that she was just happy to see us be able to enjoy and give us that opportunity. And growing up in Golden Gate Park in those days was just such a, you know, fun place to, you know, spend our childhood. And we had a lot of other families out there, and all the kids, we would just be out there all day playing, and, you know, it was plenty safe back then. So, you know, just really glad that we were able to enjoy our childhood in, you know, public tennis courts and, you know, just great memories.
One of the things that surprises me a little bit is that if you think about Chinese family, the emphasis is usually on family and also on education. And I would think that maybe looking at something like sport, which is looked upon as a country club activity in some way, would be the antithesis about what Chinese families would think about the sport. Am I correct in that observation?
Oh, yes, very much so. And I tease my mom about that, too, you know, because, you know, she was very, you know, serious about us getting a good education, you know, just, you know, work hard and you know, just, you know, maintain, you know, our schoolwork. But it's just, I think her love of the game, and it wasn't because she was a competitive tennis player growing up herself. It was really just a love of the sport. She grew up in Seattle, and her sister that's 2 years older than her, Amy, they came from a big family, and her and Amy would sneak out and play tennis whenever they could, just recreationally. And, you know, they had an older sister that would find that they were playing tennis and then just say, get off the tennis court. You should be back at the farm, you know, working or helping to watch the other siblings. So, you know, it was just my mom. You know, she was the one that got us out there every day. And, you know, being a parent of two kids myself, I mean, just I'm always, you know, I think back her dedication to getting us out there every single day. But in a good way, where it was, you know, a good push. It was just like, okay, you guys just have to practice hard, practice every day. And, you know, so I don't have any regrets for how many hours we spent on the tennis courts.
You know what also surprises me about it, and you know this as well as I do, that within the Chinese family structure, favored son. And yet it was the girls. I mean, your sister is the oldest in the family, and she was kind of the leader on this. And you don't think about, you know, daughters, no. You don't play tennis. You know, you go off and you do something else. Your mother was really a pioneer.
And, you know, it's so funny. And she was, she came of a family of 9 kids, too. And she was the only one that left Seattle. So I know my mom was really, you know, just kind of the renegade in a way. And actually, my brother, who's the second oldest, we always kid my mom that he is the favorite, the son that can do no wrong. But, you know, really, you know, our parents just treated us really equally, you know, and just everybody has to do their chores. Everybody has to help clean up. So, you know, although Marcy and I, you know, played on the pro circuit, it was just like, you know, we had to do just everything that our other siblings had to do, too.
How traditional was your father?
Very traditional.
I would think that would have been a problem for him as well then.
My dad, I mean, he's from China, and, you know, so to him, playing tennis was really just like, what is this? And just really kind of thought, my mom, you know, he would say, you know, give them a day rest. And, you know, I just remember my dad, you know, we, you know, were playing tournaments. He would come and support us, but in his own kind of old-fashioned way, if we were upset that we lost a match or anything, he would just like, you know, it's just a game. You know, to him, it was just a game. So it was like, you know, you don't need to cry or anything. So he had a really good perspective on it. And, you know, he just let my mom, you know, just really kind of drive that path for us. And, you know, very supportive, but in definitely a different way. But very strict, you know, as in, you know, you didn't want to dare do anything that, you know, we would get in trouble for. So, you know, but I'm glad that they're very strict.
I was going to ask you about immigrant families tend to have high standards for their kids when they do anything. And was there that high standard? Were you guys pushed when it came to tennis?
You know, oddly enough, you know, because I know that stereotype too. And I know I think my mom was just, you know, just kind of happy that, you know, we, you know, had some talent in tennis. And it just was kind of a day-to-day process that, you know, kind of guided us. It was never like, okay, well, first of all, there wasn't like a pearl circuit really to like, I want you to grow up and be a pro tennis player. It was just really her love for the game. She wanted us to work hard and, you know, do well at the time. You know, I was just in juniors and just day to day, just practice hard and just kind of let the, you know, see where it leads us.
What about Marcy? Tell me a little bit about her as far as a tennis player and kind of being the leader of all of this in a sense. I mean, she's kind of set the standard, I would assume.
Yeah, Marcy was, you know, I would say, you know, she's very shy in a way. And, you know, I just think, you know, for her to be the first one to experience pro tennis, you know, was very helpful for me. And, you know, she already, you know, knew, you know, the traveling, you know, who to see, you know, where we go, you know, here's, you know, U.S. Open, here's how we take this subway out to, you know, Forest Hills. So, you know, it was really nice for me to be able to kind of get a glimpse of what it's like through her and watching her play with all those legends, you know, at Civic Center. And, you know, those players in her generation became kind of like older friends of mine by the time I joined the tour.
How old was she when she was playing professional tennis?
You know, back in those days, there really wasn't any 14, 15-year-old turning pro. You just really, the emphasis was on junior tennis, and that's, you know, everyone, all the strong players, you just stayed in juniors until, you know, because there wasn't a pro circuit out there. You know, so Marcy was one of the first, you know, that generation, Chris, ever. You know, I remember watching her in junior. She didn't turn pro until, they finished their last junior tennis tournament. And so really, even my generation, no one really turned pro early until you were finished with your 18 and unders at nationals. And then, like Tracy Austin, you know, she turned pro early. Then it started to get younger and younger when the top juniors wouldn't stay in the juniors till they're 18 and unders. They would turn pro early.
It must have been lonely in a sense for her because she did not have anybody to kind of show her along the way. I mean, there were no other Asian-American players out on the tour. That must have been, was it dominating? I mean, if she didn't have the dominating personality, like you said, was she overwhelmed at any time?
You know, I think out there, you know, it was so international. You know, she had friends from Japan, from Romania, from all over the world. And I think, you know, it was just a nice family environment out there on the tour. And you know, and I think they were all experiencing this new career together, and it was very low key. I mean, she would have some of her pro friends come out to Golden Gate Park and practice, and you know, it was just a whole different experience than it is now. It was just very low key, so it wasn't, you know, I think although she was, you know, playing pro tennis and it was a new thing, that it was, I think first round prize money was so nominal. So really, it wasn't about the money at all. It was just about, you know, trying to compete and see how you do and against these other pros.
Peanut Louie is with us in the studio, a retired American female tennis player. We'll talk about her career as well and about growing up on the public courts in San Francisco. We do that as we continue across the country and around the world. We've got you on Sports Byline.
It has been said that everyone has a book in them, but do you have the time or the ability to write your book? Maybe you picked up some skills or had a life experience that you want to pass on in the form of a book to help others. Maybe you want to leave an autobiography for your family, or maybe you've built a successful business and you want to share your story. At Dorrance Publishing Company, we have professional writers who can help turn your book idea into a finished manuscript quickly and affordably. A Dorrance ghostwriter can provide as much or as little help as you need to complete your book. You'll work directly with your ghostwriter to finish your book faster than you ever could on your own. It's easy to become a published author. Call Dorrance now to learn more.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. Call right now. That number is 800-485-6003.
Are you an active stock market investor? Well, then you know these three key words. buy, sell, hold. Those three magic words can make or lose you money in the stock market. What if we can show you a time-tested tool that's been helping stock market investors succeed for over 30 years? It's called VectorVest, an amazing system designed to make smart investing easy. The VectorVest system analyzes, sorts, and ranks over 19,000 stocks every day and tells you when to buy, what to buy, and when to sell any stock to maximize your profits in less than 10 minutes a day. And if you call right now, you can test drive our amazing VectorVest system risk-free for 30 days for just $9.95.
800-584-2519. 800-584-2519. 800-584-2519. That's 800-584-2519.
If you or a loved one is suffering from a physical or emotional condition that has left you unable to work, then listen carefully. Take this number down. 800-593-7491. That's 800-593-7491. When you call, you'll speak with a Social Security disability expert and get a free evaluation to see if you may qualify for disability insurance benefits from the U.S. government. That's right, a monthly cash payment paid directly to you from the Social Security Administration. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied disability benefits, call now. The disability attorneys at Pinnacle Disability can help you build your case, file an appeal, and represent you at no upfront cost to you. Don't wait another minute to see if you may qualify for your Social Security disability benefits. Call Pinnacle Disability Group at 800-593-7491 for your free case evaluation. That's 800-593-7491. 800-593-7491. Call now.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
We're talking tennis with Peanut Louie. Peanut Louie, of course, played 19 years in her career. She won four singles championships. She broke in professionally back in 1976 at the U.S. Open. But as I alluded before the break, Peanut, your career blossomed along with your brother and sisters on the public courts in San Francisco, which is, I guess, was one of only two ways. You were either part of a tennis club and you developed your skills, or you did it on the public courts, did you not?
You know, gosh, the first tennis club that was even around was the San Francisco Tennis Club, and that wasn't till 1976 or 1977. So up to that point, you know, I started playing at Golden Gate Park when I was 6 years old. And when the San Francisco Tennis Club opened, Marcy and my older brother Ronnie were one of the first teaching pros there with Weston Reese, who's now the tennis director. And so I just kind of moved over there from Golden Gate Park. There was a lot of good competition for me in practice at San Francisco Tennis Club. So pretty much from the age of 16, 17 till my whole career, San Francisco Tennis Club was my second home.
I would think that being on the public courts is a totally different atmosphere than either what we find today in the academies or even in the clubs themselves. And I don't really know how to put my finger on it, but Rosie Casals is another one that came off of the public courts in San Francisco at Golden Gate Park, and she always talked about the people that were around the courts. I mean, San Francisco is a melting pot. There is no doubt. You're smiling and laughing. But she always said that that always kept her humble and really was one of the things that inspired her.
Golden Gate Park, I tell you, it was, you know, I'm just really glad that we experienced that. In the day where you could, in our parents could leave us there and we'd be fine and come home safely. You know, Rosie, actually, we were both Washington High School alumni, too. So that's pretty neat. And her dad, she wasn't playing at Golden Gate Park when we were growing up, but her dad would come out and just the nicest, sweetest man. And he would come and, you know, sit behind the courts and watch us practice. And, you know, we'd have friends come out there that weren't used to Golden Gate Park and they'd walk past Hippie Hill or, you know, you'd hear the bongo drums, and we're so used to it, we didn't even notice it, and they'd be like, you know, I don't like playing here because it's, like, so distracting, but, you know, it really did get you ready for everything. You saw everything at Golden Gate Park.
What type of mentoring and coaching did you get there? What was it like at that time?
You know, I think, you know, back in those days, because, you know, my parents couldn't really afford private tennis lessons for us, and you know, we were really just a product of my mom just you know, getting out there. We would, you know, play with other kids, a lot of other people. But really, she'd feed us 1,000,000,000 balls. And we all kind of hit a little different because she just kind of gave us the basics, you know, technique of how to hit the ball.
So she was your early coach then?
Yes. My mom started us all. And Marcy had some lessons as a junior from Dennis Vandermeer. And then, you know, I didn't get like a real tennis lesson until maybe I was about 15 or 16 with Rich Anderson was my first coach. And, you know, I had a few other coaches after that, but he was the first one that I started with and like a real tennis lesson.
Yeah, was your mom a difficult, when I say difficult, was she a demanding teacher?
My mom is just from the school of hard work. It's just, you know, I just describe it as hitting 100,000,000 tennis balls. And there's five of us. So, you know, my brother didn't play as much as a junior as the four girls did. But, you know, it was just like, okay, your turn. Okay. You know, my mom would just work with each of us at different times. If, you know, my sisters were off playing with another friend practicing, then it would be me and my sister Maurice or something, just alternating. And my mom had her big bucket of balls and beaming us. You know, we hit cross court, 100 of those, 100 down the line. But it wasn't in a way where, you know, I guess you just get used to it. This is just what you do. So, you know, kind of a combination of, you know, I didn't know anything different, but it wasn't in a way of like, you know, we were forced to do this. This is what you're doing. You have no other choice kind of thing. So I guess we're just lucky that it was a nice balance.
I'm going to assume that you enjoyed playing tennis along the lines, and I'm going to draw this comparison. And when I take a look at the young players today, the juniors, because as you've pointed out, they've come on to the professional circuit a lot earlier, 14, 15, 16 years old. I wonder about them being able to enjoy it, that they've become machines. I never believed that either Serena or her sister was a machine when it came to tennis because of the environment that we've talked about, the public courts. And I don't think it was that way for you and probably other juniors at that time. Am I correct in that observation?
You know, I think, again, you know, just lucky that my mom put us in the game for the right reasons, I like to say. And it's just for the pure enjoyment and positive experience of being involved in the sport of tennis. So it was never about money. It was never about even getting a college scholarship. It wasn't being on the pro circuit. And I think that's the thing that's a little scary these days, whether it's tennis or any other sport. Our parents see this, you know, blinking lights and all this money. And, you know, I know that they want, you know, this great opportunity for their kids to be like a professional athlete. But, you know, everyone knows how extremely difficult that is, and this percentage of kids that really make it even to college level. And that's the thing where you just want to, you hope that they keep it in a healthy perspective, because you want your child, whatever sport they're in, to enjoy the game, you know, for the right reasons and something that they choose to do. You know, even for our own kids, you know, because everybody always asks them, you know, you must play tennis. And I think they've heard it so much that they do, I mean, they know how to play and they're relatively good, like they'll be able to enjoy it, but it is not their favorite sport at all. And, you know, for me, it's an easy choice that they chose something else because they love the sports that they love. They go to practice easy. They want to do well. And that's just like a no-brainer.
Yeah. I want to follow up with another observation as well. When I watch junior tennis today, I don't see the variety or the well-roundedness of today's young junior player. And what I mean by that is that when I watch, whether male or female, they are wailing at the ball. There is no touch shot. There is no drop shot. And that was not something that I sensed with you or any of the players from previous eras when they were learning the game. They were learning the complete game, and I don't see that today. Am I right about that observation?
You know, I think, you know, when they try and compare tennis today and tennis, you know, back in like our era, and I'm still a big believer in good sound technique, and there's this like modern tennis that, you know, they're teaching these little kids to hit the ball 100,000,000 miles per hour, and you know, it's just, I don't know, it's just gotten bigger and faster, everything. You know, the money is bigger, so everybody's just, like, pushing kids harder and harder to be these really strong, great tennis players at the age of 10. And, you know, it's just kind of unrealistic.
What about tennis burnout today?
Oh, gosh. You know, you just hope in any sport that, you know, that these kids, I mean, if they're still enjoying their sport by the time they're 15, 16, that seems like a pretty successful thing for parents, because there's so much pressure on the kids these days that if they're not winning, you know, first place or the tournament, you know, they're at the age of 10 or 11, it's just like, okay, let's try something else.
Let me also ask you about when you broke in professionally. It was at the U.S. Open. How old were you?
I was 16.
And when you think back about walking onto your first professional tennis court and playing that match, what is it that still stays with you today?
Nancy Ritchie. She, you know, playing her at Forest Hills and on clay, and just the whole experience of taking the subway out there, you know, walking through the neighborhood, stopping at the deli to get your sandwich. I think it was $1.50 or $3. And just really, I mean, I'm on the court with Nancy Ritchie, who I just, you know, you grow up watching these legends. I'm like, okay, this is surreal. And I had done well as a junior, but, you know, you're standing on the court with this, you know, this pro that you just admired and looked up to, and it's just like, okay, I'm just happy to be here.
I broadcast a telecast of a tournament once that had both Nancy and Cliff Ritchie, brother and sister, of course. And Cliff told me that when they practiced out in the plains of Texas, which is where they grew up, that they would, every day when they practiced, they would pretend that they were someplace else in the world and that they were playing for the championship. So maybe it was Paris one day, maybe it was Bangkok the next day, or it was Rome or something else. And so I said to him, I said, do you remember which city it was that she beat you?
Oh.
And I guess the competition between brother and sister. We've got about 45 seconds before we break, but was there a lot of sibling rivalry tennis-wise between you, your brother, and your sisters?
You know, there was, like Marcy being 7 years older than me and you know, just following her footsteps to the pros. There was. There's like, you know, good, you know, sibling rivalry. And, you know, she's the oldest, I'm the youngest. But, you know, it's all good. You know, even my two sisters in between, you know, we practice together all the time. So we have some good stories.
I can just imagine. When we come back on the other side of the break, I'm going to talk with Peanut Louie about a book that she co-authored along with Coach John Wooden and Steve Jamison. It's a wonderful book. It's called Inch and Miles, The Journey to Success. And I think you're going to find it quite interesting. Peanut Louie with us in the studio. She played 19 years in her career. She won 4 singles titles, and she also was an outstanding junior. She was a junior national champion. We do that as we continue on Sports Byline.
I've recently discovered the powerful health benefits of CBD oil. I have been using New Leaf Natural CBD oil for some time now, and I love it. CBD oil is non-intoxicating, which makes it ideal for people like me. I want the health benefits of cannabinoids, but I don't smoke weed. I never will smoke weed. Mind-altering effects I do not need. CBD is non-toxic, has potent pain relieving, and is anti-inflammatory with its properties as well. And that's why the brand I trust the most is New Leaf Naturals. New Leaf Naturals is the highest quality CBD oil on the market, 100% organic, highly concentrated, no additives, grown in the U.S. The only ingredient is hemp. It is pure and simple. Go to newleafnaturals.com. That's NuLeafNaturals.com. Save 30% and receive free shipping in the U.S. when you use the promo code Rick. That's right, Rick. Go to NuLeafNaturals.com. Promo code Rick.
You'll do it right to make your home look its best, indoors and out. Lowe's does it right, too, because we're the only national home center that carries Purdy paintbrushes and rollers, the number one brand preferred by pros. So if it's good enough for pro jobs, you can be sure it can take on yours. For your outdoors, update your patio furniture and save big with up to 25% off patio clearance items. Whatever your next project, do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offer valid through 6/26. Selection varies by location while supplies last. U.S. only.
Attention, this important consumer alert is brought to you by Annuity Action Network. Hey, did you know it's possible to receive upfront money from your monthly settlement payments? It's true. If you receive monthly payments from an annuity or a structured settlement and you need a lump sum immediately, then you need to call Annuity Action Network. With your cash today, you can pay off credit card debt, pay medical bills, fund your education, or improve your home. You don't need to wait. Call the Annuity Action Network
now to get your fast cash with no hidden costs. And if you call today, we'll even send you a $100 cash gift card just for verifying your settlement payments and your contact information. If you have a structured settlement or an annuity and you want cash now, call Annuity Action Network right now.
800-514-9170. 800-514-9170. That's 800-514-9170.
The backyard's looking great, Rob.
Thanks, man. I was planning on adding a deck, too. Know any good contractors?
Why don't you just ask HomeAdvisor?
Home what?
HomeAdvisor.com. You just tell them about your project, and they match you with local pros that can do the job.
Nice. Now, how much does it cost?
Oh, HomeAdvisor's totally free to use. Plus, you can read customer reviews, check pricing, and book appointments for free.
What's the website again?
HomeAdvisor.com. Or just download the free HomeAdvisor app. HomeAdvisor.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Peanut Louie is with us on Sports Byline. We're talking tennis this hour as she was an outstanding junior tennis player, also turned professional when she played in the U.S. Open. And over a 19-year career, she won 4 singles championships. And before the break, I alluded to the fact that she has co-authored, along with Coach John Wooden, a book called Inch and Miles, The Journey to Success. Tell me a little bit about how you met John Wooden.
Well, it was through a friend of mine who I've known from the San Francisco Tennis Club since I was a teenager, Steve Jamison. And he co-wrote this first book that he did with Coach Wooden called Wooden. It's called The Little Blue Book. And I read it, and I just, like, fell in love with the philosophy. And I had never, embarrassingly to say, I had never heard of Coach Wooden. But everything he said in the book, I just, like, oh, my gosh, you know, this is just great information that, you know, I want to use with my kids. And, you know, it's just great old-fashioned values and just his definition of success. I mean, I just fell in love with that. You know, it's just about measuring your success based on your effort, and really you can't do any more than trying your best. And I bugged Steve for about a month, I think, about you and coach have got to put this information from Wooden in a book for parents and kids. And it wasn't even like talking about a children's book at the time or anything. It was just like, please, Steve, you know, I want to use this. I think at the same time, Coach Wooden's granddaughter, who's a teacher, was bugging him on that end about doing a children's book. And Steve, you know, in time just checked with Coach Wooden to see if he was even interested. And he said, yes. And Steve said, you know, would you like to help, you know, kick around story ideas and kind of be a parent feedback? And I just said, I would love to. And this was back in 2001 when we started. And the book came out in 2003. So it was kind of a long process, but just the best experience.
Do you remember the first time you met him?
Yes. You know, you're always a little nervous. And, you know, Steve had said, you got to go down to Southern Cal and meet Coach Wooden. And, you know, by that time, you know, we just totally, you know, had Coach up on this big pedestal. And you're always worried, like, when you meet, you know, these celebrities or famous people that, oh, gosh, you know, I hope they're nice. And he was just nicer. I mean, he was just the nicest, kindest man you could ever meet. And, you know, we went to visit him in his home. And it's just, you know, it's very modest, and, you know, he couldn't have been more welcoming. And, you know, the time that you spend with him, and, you know, you read this all the time about people who spend time with him, it is, he makes you just feel so welcome, so special, and just what a great role model he is.
I want to ask you a question. As a highly skilled athlete, albeit in the sport of tennis, but what is it that made him so universally successful? And I'm going to use the word smart, and whether it be basketball, the things that he talked about that he has written in his books that you put into this book applies across mankind almost in a sense. What was it about his philosophy that appealed to everything?
I think it's because, like, for me personally, his philosophy, it just gives you a feeling like there's hope. There's still hope in good old-fashioned values. There's still hope in just keeping life simple. And, you know, I think anyone that, everything you read about him or anyone who's met him, I think he is everything that he teaches. You know, it's not like he's telling people to be humble, be gracious, be appreciative, and then he's this other kind of person. He's that person. You know, so when you you know, get to spend any time with him or just read anything, and you're, you know, just, you just become a bigger and bigger fan. And I think that's what makes him really special. I mean, there's a lot of great people out there with great words of wisdom, but I just think it is, it's who he is as a person that is the magic. And, you know, I remember Steve Jameson, you know, telling me, he says, Coach says, it's not that he feels he created this magic dust or anything. It's just words of wisdoms and life lessons that he's learned from his dad and these other top, you know, his favorite teachers or coaches that have impacted his life. And he's just passing it down to the next generation of kids that he can.
I don't know whether you know this or not, but he's been inducted into the Hall of Fame twice, once as a player and once as a coach as well. And I got to know him when I was a young sportscaster. And there were two things about him I was struck by. One is his consistency. It didn't matter who he was talking to. His words were something that applied to everybody at every age. I mean, it was basic. And the thing that I felt was his greatest strength was his motivation to people about self-esteem, that really your success comes from within yourself. Because I got to tell you, when I was broadcasting games on television and UCLA was playing, and say it was against the University of Washington, our broadcast position might be close to the huddle during a timeout. He could look you in the eye, and he could say one or two words, or he could just go right through you with his eyes. I mean, he was a taskmaster. And I've talked to Bill Walton, and I've talked to other players that played for him, and they talk about that. But there was a love about him, and it was the fact that they always said to me, Peanut, that he drove us to be the best that we could be, better than we even knew we could be ourselves. And I think that was what I found made him so special. Would you agree with that statement?
You know, Steve, you know, tells me again, he's like, Coach was one of the most competitive people he's ever met. And you read about, you know, in articles of his former players, and we know Mike Warren, and, you know, he has some good stories, too. And there seems to be this nice sense of humor of coaches that made him special, too. I mean, some pretty candid things his players will say. And, you know, I think he just had such a great relationship with his players, and just, I think, the trust and the respect both ways. And that he was consistent, like you said, and he didn't treat his star player any different from his, you know, the rest of the team. And I think everybody, you know, just respected just that consistency.
And he was interesting, too, because when he was coaching down at UCLA during that great string of victories, I mean, that was a very turbulent time in our country. We had riots down in Los Angeles as well, and kids were changing, and there was a lot of influences. I'll never forget when I covered one of the Final Fours that UCLA was in during that run, and they won the championship that year. I ran into him after a semifinal game in the hallway. He had the stat sheet in his hand. And I said to him, and I was a young sportscaster and a little intimidated as well, meeting Coach Wooden, and I thought, well, I'm going to go up and ask him the question anyway. So I said, well, Coach, what jumps out at you off the stat sheet? And he paused, and he looked at it, and he looked at me, and he said, you know, turnovers in basketball are like walks in baseball. They'll kill you every time.
Oh, yes. I mean, and it's true. It's odd to think that, you know, he didn't even look at what team they were playing. I mean, for a coach, right? I mean, that's part of, like, you study your opponents and, you know, any kind of strategy-wise. But it's just like, wow, that's pretty good control.
Let me switch gears on you and go back to tennis with the time that we have remaining here. When you look at the tennis scene today, particularly on the women's side, what is it that you see that you like and what is it that you're concerned about?
You know, I'm a big fan of, you know, athletes like Kim Clijsters or Roger Federer or, you know, Rafa Nadal, where you get to see what a class act, what a champions they are on and off the court. You know, so for me, I mean, those are great role models of our game. And, you know, just how gracious they are, whether they win or they lose. So I'm a big fan of those players. You know, it's in the women's game, there seems to be a big turnover now, like who's, you know, the top player and everything. And the men's, it's just exciting to see those top four players, you know, from different countries. And just how they handle themselves on and off the court, too, and just say gracious things about their opponent, whether they win or lose. But it is a pretty exciting time for, you know, like the Bank of the West is end of July. And, you know, they have Serena Williams coming out.
Let me ask you a question, because Serena and Venus Williams both have been criticized for having interest off the court, being, you know, looking at things beyond just tennis. I would think, because of your background, you probably admire that, because it made him a well-rounded person. And yet I've never felt that that criticism was justified. I think that because of the demands and the pressure that is on a highly skilled professional athlete, the expectations that you need to have an outlet outside of the sport that you're playing in order to maintain your sanity.
Yeah, I think, I mean, their outside interest is probably part of why they're still able to perform at such a high level. And it doesn't seem to bother them if their rankings drop, because, you know, I think they could be fine without tennis if, you know, that day comes. And, yeah, I mean, it's rare that you find a professional athlete that can, you know, have outside interests. And, I mean, you're so used to being so single-minded and so focused that, I mean, that's a great skill that they have, that they can enjoy other parts of their lives. And, I mean, that's great.
What has happened to American tennis, both on the men's as well as the women's side? Because we don't see the Martina Navratilovas. We don't see any of the other big names that we've had in the past. It just is not there. I don't know whether it's because the rest of the world is caught up to the way we play tennis, or it's just a cyclical change.
You know, I think part of it, and USD is trying, you know, they're really trying to grow the game and get a lot of kids in the 10 and under with their quick start format playing the game and just playing and trying and enjoying it for fun. So I think that's a great direction that they're headed. You know, I think, you know, just the players from other countries, they're just hungrier. You know, I think, you know, our opportunities here are so many choices. Kids here just can have a variety of everything. So they dabble in a lot of things versus, I think, players from the other countries. The work ethic is just there. You know, they know that this is a big opportunity for them to be able to do something really special. So I think they kind of appreciate a little bit more.
How hard is it for kids today to be so single-minded to just play tennis and be that focused? I can't see it happening. There's too many things that are after their attention.
And I also think, you know, just being a parent myself, you know, there was a lot of sacrifice, you know, I know from my parents when we played, but I know now, because both parents work, you know, there's this whole, you know, juggling of schedules, who's going to pick up who. You hope that your kids can get a ride from someone and you give rides too. So it's just a lot busier for parents. So I think a lot of it is the kids end up in activities or sports that's convenient to their parents versus, you know, doing whatever to give your kids those opportunities. So life is a little different, and I think a lot of it depends on if it's convenient to the parent, unfortunately.
What did you get out of the game of tennis, professionally especially, that still stays with you today, Peanut?
You know, I think I really appreciate that I was able to, you know, do that for a good majority of my life. I still enjoy playing tennis today just as something fun to do, a nice break from, you know, the work day. And, you know, it does, you know, talking about Coach Wooden's pyramid of success and all those character traits on it, I can look at it and just say, you know what, I got every one of those from tennis. You know, and I know you can get that from, you know, any sport. But for me, I was just like, you know what, I'm so grateful to my parents, you know, especially my mom, for giving us that opportunity. And, you know, I hope that this is something that we can pass down to our kids too, and, you know, and find a sport that you love, because it just naturally, you know, helps you develop all those skills.
And when you think back on it all, was it worth it?
Definitely. I mean, it's, as a parent, I don't know if I had the dedication and commitment to get my, you know, my child play tennis every day, 7 days a week, you know, for I don't know how many years. But I'm glad that I did it. And, you know, just, I know, I just am always amazed that my mom did this with five kids.
Yeah. Is there a particular moment in your career that's kind of emblazoned in your mind? I always love to ask athletes that, because invariably I get surprising answers, not the ones that I would expect or maybe the listeners or fans would expect to hear, because there's different things that mean different things to athletes. Is there a moment?
You know, my daughter was just asking me that yesterday, like, what was my favorite tournament? She goes, oh, it must have been Wimbledon. And I said, well, actually, I mean, Wimbledon was one of my favorites because I just love the tradition of it and just what a special tournament that is. But one of my favorite tournaments was one that I would play before the U.S. Open. It was in Mahwah, New Jersey. And it was because I stayed with this family that you know, was just so special to me, and, you know, we're still in touch. So just as an experience-wise, that was one of my most memorable or things that I really remember and appreciate was, you know, having this friendship with this great family back in Mahwah, New Jersey.
We only got about 30 seconds left, but when you think back upon it all, is there anything you would have changed?
I think I kid about this, but I said, maybe I should have taken a Sunday off every now and then. But I didn't know that I, you know, it just wasn't part of our schedule. But I think that would have been okay if I took a Sunday off every now and then.
Do you play tennis with your husband?
Yes. I, you know, once in a while, his poor hips, you know, are hard. But, you know, he teaches down at San Francisco Tennis
okay.
Club. So every now and then for fun.
Boy, I'll tell you what, husband and wife's playing the same sport. That could be a little bit on the dicey side. I want to thank you. I've known you for a very long time. And just to hear the history, because you and Marcy were pioneers. I mean, Asian American athletes and professional tennis players. Thank you very, very much for spending an hour with us.
Thank you, Ron.
Sports
Great
Byline.
To see you.
Peanut Louie, and again, the name of the book is called Inch and Miles, The Journey to Success by Coach John Wooden, along with Steve Jamison and also Peanut Louie Harper. I hope you'll check it out. We continue on Sports Byline.
World Sports Memorabilia and World Games present the biggest event of the summer, Super World Con, at the Santa Clara Fairgrounds in San Jose. Meet 49ers legend Joe Montana, Mr. Primetime Deion Sanders, Patrick Willis, George Kittle, Frank Gore, and other 49ers. Baseball superstars Orlando Cepeda, Ricky Henderson, and Jose Canseco. Boxing greatness Julio Cesar Chavez, Juan Manuel Marquez, Eric El Terrible Morales, and Marco Antonio Barrera. Also, live lucha libre with Mexican superstar Juventud Guerrera, Lucha Underground, Drago, Puma King, Mecha Wolf, and many more. Also, the voices of Dragon Ball Z and the Sandlot Gang, June 28, 29, and 30th at the Santa Clara Fairgrounds in San Jose. Tickets, superworldcon.com or calling 408-286-2151. 408-286-2151.
Remember in the beginning, when you first started to build a life for you and your family, you never imagined it would come to this. Instead of living your dreams, you're living with debt. In fact, it's smothering you. Now there's a way you can take back control with one simple call. If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you qualify to receive a free, no-obligation consultation on how to get rid of that debt for good. Call the Debt Helpline now. We work on your behalf to reduce your debt. We specialize in credit cards, retail store cards, and medical bills. One simple call is all it takes to get the ball rolling to a debt-free life. Stop living with debt and start living your dreams. Call the Debt Helpline now.
800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. That's 800-957-6063.
Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Clapper, Chief of Orthopedic Surgery at Cedars-Sinai Medical Group in Los Angeles, California. Dedicated to your health, your life, and your sports. As a weekend warrior, you know about sports injuries and pain. Exercise is an important element in keeping your body's core in good shape to minimize sports injuries. But when you are in pain, there is one product that I recommend to my patients, and that is Blue Goo Gel. Blue Goo consists of a proprietary formula developed specifically for the treatment of inflammation and general muscle aches and strains. I recommend Blue Goo for my patients coping with hip and knee pain before surgery, especially bursitis and tendonitis. Give Blue Goo a try. Call 1-888-330-0123 and you'll receive a 1 week supply of Blue Goo absolutely free. The makers of Blue Goo are even paying the shipping. The number again is 1-888-330-0123. If you want more information on Blue Goo, visit online at www.dothegoo.com.
Now available at select Big Five stores near you.
This is America's Sports Talk Show. Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Peanut Louie with us on the Sports Byline USA national and international talk show. And in her 19-year career, she won four singles titles. And since retiring, Peanut started her organization, Harper for Kids, with her husband, Tim Harper, which aims to teach children about important life skills. And you may also want to check out her book. She co-authored this book called Inch and Miles, The Journey to Success with Basketball Legend and Icon John Wooden. So Peanut Louie with us for the hour in the studio. Be sure to check out the award-winning Sports Byline USA website And remember, wherever you might be in the world, if you want to catch not only this program, but any of the great programs we have on the Sports Byline USA Network, just go to the homepage and hit that Listen Live button. I'm Ron Barr. We'll be talking to you on America's Sports Talk Show.
Hey, sports fans, this is Andy Dorf. Check out my show, Dorf on Sports Byline Sunday, each and every Sunday, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Time on Dorf on Sports on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network and SportsByline.com.
You're listening to the Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Breaking Supreme Court news, a controversial citizenship question will apparently not be added to the 2020 census based on a Supreme Court ruling that came down just a short time ago. Chief Justice John Roberts joining the court's four liberal justices in a 5-4 ruling against adding a question to the census about whether respondents are U.S. citizens. Legal analyst Andrew Napolitano.
This is a significant defeat for the Trump administration and for the president personally, who, of course, wanted this question on there, and I think had understandable reasons for wanting it on there.
He was speaking on Fox News. The high court also punting a key case involving the political process of drawing congressional districts or gerrymandering. The justices say they can't decide an issue that should be up to state lawmakers. The ruling 5-4, and this is USA Radio News.
Between the unbeatable performance and lower operating costs, electric cars are going places like never before. In fact, a survey by Drive Change Drive Electric tells us that 8 out of 10 Northeasterners agree electric is the future of automobiles. Travel expert Zach Houghton.
The vast majority of Northeast drivers, about 3 in 4, believe it's important to move towards electric cars, and 88% also want to reduce their vehicle emissions. So while drivers are interested in these cars, the problem is that most of them don't understand how and where to charge or even realize that charging stations are available to them.
Houghton told us a new campaign called Destination Electric hopes to change all that by celebrating businesses that support driving electric in communities across the Northeast.
Destination Electric businesses all have a storefront decal to alert visitors that charging is nearby. So far, over 100 local businesses have joined Destination Electric to demonstrate their support for electric cars and to let their customers know that they could be charging while they visit.
Visit Drive Electric US to learn more.
Just before President Trump departed for the G20 summit in Japan, he said of efforts to get a trade deal with China.
They want to make a deal. They want to make a deal more than I do. Let me put it that way.
Okay.
That's the president speaking after he called into the Fox Business Network yesterday morning. Now there's a report that the Chinese president will present President Trump with terms for a trade war settlement when the two meet on Saturday at the summit. The Wall Street Journal says the proposed deal calls for the U.S. to lift its ban on selling American technology to the Chinese tech giant Huawei and calls for Trump to remove all tariffs on Chinese imports. Last night at the first Democratic presidential debate, 10 of the hopefuls took the stage in Miami. Tonight, another 10 will be taking that stage, though Bernie Sanders and frontrunner Joe Biden are not taking part in this first debate. The government says the U.S. economy grew at an annual rate of 3.1% in the year's first quarter. And this is USA Radio News.
Here's a great deal on MyPillow. When you go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, type in promo code USA, you'll get two MyPillow premium pillows for $69.98. Now, that's only $34.99 a pillow. You will not get that price anywhere retail. It's the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. And like all MyPillow products, 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, use my promo code USA.
A passenger jet's been cleared to continue on to Newark's Liberty Airport in New Jersey after a threat forced it to make an emergency landing in London a few hours ago. Air India says a bomb threat forced that landing of the flight out of Mumbai that was headed to Newark, the plane getting checked out at Stansted Airport and given the okay to keep going. No further details have been released regarding that threat. More testimony is being given in the war crimes court-martial of Navy SEAL Eddie Gallagher. Another Navy SEAL, Joshua Graffam, was deployed to Iraq with Gallagher, acting as a spotter, and he testified yesterday Gallagher fired his sniper rifle at a man because he thought he was an ISIS fighter, not a civilian. Other witnesses claim Gallagher intentionally fired on Iraqi civilians. Gallagher faces life in prison if he is convicted. It appears a so-called straight pride parade to be held in the city of Boston on August 31st is a step closer to happening. It appears City Hall has signed off on it, but the event does still need some approvals, including from the Boston Police Department and the city's licensing board. Organizers of the parade say it's aiming to celebrate the, quote, diverse history, culture, and contributions of the straight community. Critics of the parade say it's meant to mock the LGBTQ community. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
This is a health warning from Dr. Approved Medical, America's trusted resource for back braces. If you're 65 or older and suffering from back pain, you may qualify to receive an advanced pain-relieving back brace at little or no cost to you. Many people are now using our pain-relieving back brace as an alternative to surgery or harmful medications and experience pain relief that they haven't felt in years. Don't let your back pain turn into something worse. Remember, if you qualify for no money out of pocket, there's nothing to lose and only real pain relief to gain. Our friendly team of experts will handle all paperwork and will deliver it for free. 800-507-1148. Your pain-relieving back brace may be covered by Medicare at little or no cost to you. Call our hotline now and get free shipping, plus a complimentary, easy-to-use pedometer. 800-507-1148. 800-507-1148. 800-507-1148. Little to no cost with full insurance payment, copay, and deductible. Supply promo subject to qualification while supplies last.
Live, worldwide, Sports Byline USA. And here's host, Ron Barr.
And wherever you might be across this great country of ours and around the world, I'm Ron Barr. Thanks for joining us here on Sports Byline. The first time I ever said that was 1988, and we were only 2 hours a night, Monday through Friday, and we were the first national sports talk radio network. Now, of course, many years later, we're the largest in the world with our 200 U.S. stations, 500 worldwide in 177 countries on the American Forces Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, CRN Digital, iHeart Radio, Stitcher, TuneIn. Anywhere you are, you can find Sports Byline and our great programming. I think most of you probably know the name Jay Mariotti because if you watched ESPN and particularly the program Around the Horn, he was always part of that. He is a fine, fine sports writer. And he happens to be in San Francisco with the San Francisco Examiner. And he spent 17 years as a Chicago Sun-Times columnist and 8 years as a regular panelist on that ESPN show, Around the Horn. And he was born in Pittsburgh. He studied journalism at Ohio University before beginning his professional sports writing career at the Detroit News. Other stops along the way, he was a columnist at the Cincinnati Post, the Rocky Mountain News, the Denver Post, and the National Sports Daily in New York as well. He is very outspoken about a number of things in sports, particularly about his profession and the media overall. So I'm really looking forward to talking to him about where we are as far as broadcasting and also the written media. I think most people know that newspapers have fallen upon real hard times, that the internet has really hurt them. And I think they've hurt, generally speaking, the broadcast media as well, because it's instantaneous on the internet. So we'll talk to Jay Mariotti about his career and also what's happening in the reporting media as well this entire hour. I always like to urge you to check out the award-winning Sports Byline USA website. And if you have a suggestion for a guest on my show or any of the other shows, a complaint or even a compliment, all you have to do is email me at rbarr at sportsbyline.com, and that's B-Y-L-I-N-E. Always love to hear from you fans out there. And remember, you can listen to us online at sportsbyline.com, and also you can listen to us on any of the other great outlets that carry our programming. We're ready to crank it up, and when we come back on the other side, we'll spend some time with Jay Mariotti on Sports Byline.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. Do not forget to buy lentils, or the lentil soup you're making for dinner will be sorely lacking. By the way, Mrs. Calloway says thanks for helping her bundle home and auto. She appreciates the extra savings, even though you kept using the word apropos incorrectly. But the main thing is, do not forget to buy, what was it? Something apropos, the lentil soup. Sorry, I'll call you back.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Money Now 100 is not a lender, broker, or agent of any lender or financial advisor. We do not make loans or credit decisions. You must be 18 years or older and a U.S. resident to qualify. This is not an offer or solicitation to lend. I went to MoneyNow100.com and got the $5,000 I needed deposited in my account the next business day. If you need money for any reason, help is here. Go to MoneyNow100.com and get the money you need. Need to pay off credit card debt? Go to MoneyNow100.com. Need your car repaired? Need home improvement money? Visit MoneyNow100.com. If you need fast cash for any reason, go to MoneyNow100.com. Good, bad, or no credit at all. Go to MoneyNow100.com. You could get up to $5,000 as soon as the next business day. Go to MoneyNow100.com on your phone, tablet, or computer. Type in the address bar MoneyNow100.com. That's MoneyNow100.com.
You know that maintaining your home indoors and out means working with the best brands. Lowe's helps you do it right by carrying trusted names like John Deere and Craftsman, and we help you save on them too. Now when you buy a John Deere Z-Track zero-turn mower, get a $200 Lowe's gift card via mail-in rebate. And you can get your choice of a Craftsman 20-volt max cordless string trimmer or a Craftsman 2-tool 20-volt max power tool combo kit for $99. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offers valid through 6/26, U.S. only. John Deere offer excludes California, Alaska, and Hawaii.
I'm pretty handy around the house, but now that I have kids, I don't want to spend my Saturday installing a toilet or fixing an air conditioner. But thankfully, there's HomeAdvisor. HomeAdvisor helps me find the best home pros in my area to handle any kind of project. You can read reviews of the pros, check their availability, and even book appointments online. And what my wife loves most is that HomeAdvisor is completely free to use.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app to get started.
HomeAdvisor.
Let me ask you a question. How do you feel about genetically modified ingredients?
Don't like them.
Artificial flavors and colors?
No thanks.
Clean ingredients.
Now that I like.
When you care about what's in things and what's not, shouldn't your vitamins be clean too? Sundown Vitamins are all clean all the time. Non-GMO, free of gluten and dairy, with colors and flavors from real food. We even have USDA certified Sundown Organics and kids vitamins too. When you're living clean, choose clean with Sundown Vitamins at supermarkets, drugstores, or on Amazon.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Jay Mariotti joins us on Sports Byline. You certainly know that name. He is now the sports director and columnist at the San Francisco Examiner, and Jay spent 17 years at the Chicago Sun-Times as a columnist and 8 years as a regular panelist on the ESPN sports program Around the Horn. And, Jay, when I looked at all the places you'd worked, Detroit, you were also in Cincinnati, you were also in Denver as well, the National Sports Daily in New York, you're in San Francisco right now. There must be a book in it on how to move and also restaurants to eat at and places to go to.
That's my dream, Ron, to do a sports travelogue. In fact, I've been telling in a network people, Anthony Bourdain has this highly successful TV show. Why don't we have a sports version of Bourdain? And I'll go to Boston for a week, and I'll show people where to eat, where to party, and what happens at Fenway during a game. And now I just gave up my dream in television. But absolutely, I've seen the world. My career has been a blessing, and I love this city. And so, with the cornucopia of topics in the city right now, I almost wish I had spent a lot of my career here, and hopefully I spend a lot of my career moving forward.
You grew up in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Tell me about that at that particular time, because back in the 70s, you had the Steelers winning all those championships. So tell me about a young Jay growing up in Pittsburgh.
I'm a little kid thinking every team's supposed to win a championship. Father takes me to Old Three River Stadium. I'm, you know, just a pup sitting in the upper deck. It's fourth down. What is it, 1972? Fourth down, 20-something seconds left. Let's go, Dad. Okay, we're walking down the stairs. Bradshaw, Raiders, Jack Tatum, Franco Harris, the Immaculate Reception. And I'm 4 years old, and I'm 5 years old, and I'm starting to think, wow, this is the way it works. The home team wins all the time. They went on to win four Super Bowls that decade. The Pirates won two World Series. Pitt, with Tony Dorsett, won a national championship. So in a 6-7 year span, I'm seeing nothing but championships. Then so along the way, when I'm covering sports in certain cities where the Cubs don't win forever, maybe I'm coming off like a spoiled brat when I'm writing, why isn't this team winning? And maybe it's because when I was in Pittsburgh, everybody seemed to win.
One of the things I've always said, and correct me if you think I'm wrong about this, Jay, is that the teams, sports teams that play in a city, take on the personality of the city itself. Is that a fair thing to say?
I don't know, Ron, if they do anymore because there's so much movement. If a fan gets attached to a player, it's most likely, especially in the NFL, unless it's a star player you keep around for a long time, a quarterback, chances are that guy's gone. I mean, you can't keep track of NFL rosters. I think that's more likely in the NBA. And with certain, you know, baseball players who are locked in for the long term. But even locally here, the Giants just locked into Johnny Cueto for 6 years, but that's actually a 2-year opt-out. So Cueto may only be here for 2 years. It's a different time in sports. Back then, absolutely, a franchise could take on the personality of a city because the athletes would. The manager would be, or coach would be around for a long time. The ownership was local. Now you have no idea in half these places where the owners are.
Tell me about the early days and your interest in sports writing.
In that environment in Pittsburgh, we attended a lot of sports, hockey, I mean, everything, in a sports village. I mean, you know, those towns, unlike out here in California where there's, you know, multiple cultural interests, Midwest, certain eastern towns, it's sports intensive. So that was a natural outgrowth for me. I love to write, and I love sports, so to Ohio University in Athens, Ohio. 3 years ahead of me was a fellow you may have heard of, Peter King, who ran the school paper, went on to pretty good things in the sports writing industry, and began a career in sports writing, and have been doing it since I was 18.
You know, I started my career in Washington, D.C., and then the next stop was Boston, and that was in television. And I bring this up only because I remember two things bothered me or scared me to some degree. One, if I had said Carl Yastrzemski's batting average was .320 and it was .321, I was going to hear from every little old lady up to the state of Maine.
Yep.
And the other thing was there was a lot of animosity between the writing people and those that were on television. They didn't really think too much of the television people.
My, how that has changed. Now the writers are on television, including, you know, me a while ago. Yeah, I mean, that this business has morphed to in so many directions. It's blurry to me, but television got smart because years ago, with some exceptions, they'd hire the best looking guy. You know, what was the movie? The Albert Brooks and
right.
You remember William or Hurt? Yeah, and you know that was TV news back in the 70s. Hire a good looking guy can read a teleprompter. ESPN got smart in the 90s, really, and realized, let's go out and hire the best reporters, maybe put some lipstick on them a little bit and make them look pretty good, and you saw them create the insiders. And that's what gave television credibility. Television used to be, let's read the scores, here's the highlight, okay, back to you with the weather. It then became, thanks to ESPN, in when they were more serious about journalism, a news gathering operation. And they went out and hoarded the best reporters and made them TV people. And as one who ended up on a debate show, I can tell you that they put you through a process in which you not only have to, you know, look real good every day and put that suit on and wear nice suits, but you're going to go into the makeup room and they're going to give you maybe enunciation tests. And yeah, you become a TV guy. And they've transformed, dozens of print guys into TV guys. Now it's to the point where when I speak at colleges, kids say, how do I get into writing so that I can be on TV someday? It's not how do I be a sports writer. It's how do I get to be where you were on ESPN?
You know, I get the same thing when I speak, particularly at colleges or journalism classes. They'll say, you know, how can I be on television or be behind the microphone? I said, wait a minute, how many people want to be broadcasters? And the hands will shoot up. I said, how many of you want to be communicators? And I think the same thing can be said for the written medium as well.
Yeah, I'm afraid too much. The line's been blurred by too much entertainment. Kids want to go out there and they want to be comedians and they don't want to investigate, corroborate. They don't even know that. When I ask journalism classes, you know, what does corroborate mean? Oh, well, yeah, I heard it in the bathroom. No, and that's my pet peeve. I mean, if I have one, when I do speak to kids, it's, come on, how would you like somebody to tell a lie about you? Can you try to go out and get to the truth? And then if you feel as if you're well-equipped to know as much about a topic as possible and you've tried your best, then go ahead and issue an opinion on it if you're qualified. Otherwise, you're unqualified. Right now, you got too many young people just tossing opinions around because they have that avenue on the internet by starting a blog. What it's done is stretch out the industry, and the common guy out there doesn't know what is what. Do I read Bleacher Report? What is Bleacher Report? Do I stick with the San Francisco Chronicle? Do I stick with USA Today? The New York Times still seems solid, but what about this crazy site here? And what it's done is, I think, confuse the masses and also downgrade the credibility of the industry. And I hope if there are any communication schools, journalism schools left 10 years from now, that they do continue to teach the basics.
Jay Mariotti is with us, a noted sports writer and also broadcaster as well. Jay, can you remember the moment when it kind of crossed over from being journalism to being entertainment, maybe journalism?
Well, again, ESPN. And, you know, it's going to come up a lot in this interview because they have changed the industry for the better and the worse. But, yeah, it started to come back in the Sports Center days. And you know, I always enjoyed Dan Patrick and Keith Olbermann because they had brains on top of their wit. But when I would see anchors just start trying to pull off the quick, fast one, it kind of got old. There was a guy in Chicago who I thought was very talented, but one day made a crack about, wow, Walter Payton is really looking thin right now. Walter, ooh, have you been running marathons? Ooh. And nobody knew yet about Walter's condition. Nobody had told anybody. He didn't know, but my argument would be, why didn't you know if you were in that position? Too many TV anchors to this day, they're never out and about. They are paid to be on the 11 o'clock news, do your three-minute thing at 11:19, bye. There are guys in this town I have never seen at a sports event, but they are the highest paid guys in San Francisco. That's because that's all their TV stations want them to do. So what my point is here, I'm not here to grouse about the business. There's so much, like we started at the top, just the idea of going out and writing about Steph Curry just blows me away every day. But you asked me about the industry and where it's headed. It's headed in 100 different directions. I can't tell you where it's headed, but you have to serve a master that has a different mission, and you just got to keep your boss happy if you're going to keep your job in this industry for the most part.
One of the things I've always said is that people that are on radio can do television play-by-play, but the television play-by-play can't do necessarily radio because you have to be more involved and you have to paint the picture a little bit more. And I'm wondering if that's the case as well, that when we take a look at the talent today in television, and overall, is that they don't have enough of the depth. They don't have enough of the tools. They don't know how to use those tools.
Well, that's why I'm glad that ESPN is hiring, and other networks, Fox has too, people who can debate a topic and do it well and thoughtfully. Our show, Around the Horn, it was not done thoughtfully because we were in a format in which it was bells and whistles and mute buttons, and just as we're getting rolling, you know, the host wants to, you know, push a mute button. Well, that's silliness. But the best sports shows are still those that can intelligently debate sports. And I still think, Ron, we live in a society where it's so complex in the world, but people still love a great sports debate because it doesn't necessarily mean anything to the state of the world, and yet people are so passionate about it. And that's why I'm still glad sports is around. It also is more complex than ever, but I would also tell you that there's nothing quite like You know, what do you do with the San Francisco 49ers right now? If I went down to the bar on the corner here and asked a bunch of fans, everybody have a different opinion. Ah, the coach sucks. Well, no, it goes above that. It's the owner. It's a, you know, and there are, you know, and I still love to engage in all of that.
Jay Mariotti is with us, again, sports director and columnist at the San Francisco Examiner. We'll continue talking about his career and about sports in general as we continue across the country and around the world on America's sports talk show, Sports Byline.
Are you an active stock market investor? Well, then you know these three key words: buy, sell, hold. Those three magic words can make or lose you money in the stock market. What if we can show you a time-tested tool that's been helping stock market investors succeed for over 30 years? It's called VectorVest, an amazing system designed to make smart investing easy. The VectorVest system analyzes, sorts, and ranks over 19,000 stocks every day and tells you when to buy, what to buy, and when to sell any stock to maximize your profits in less than 10 minutes a day. And if you call right now, you can test drive our amazing VectorVest system risk-free for 30 days for just $9.95.
800-584-2519. 800-584-2519. 800-584-2519. That's 800-584-2519.
If you or a loved one is suffering from a physical or emotional condition that has left you unable to work, then listen carefully. Take this number down. 800-593-7491. That's 800-593-7491. When you call, you'll speak with a Social Security disability expert and get a free evaluation to see if you may qualify for disability insurance benefits from the U.S. government. That's right, a monthly cash payment paid directly to you from the Social Security Administration. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied disability benefits, call now. The disability attorneys at Pinnacle Disability can help you build your case, file an appeal, and represent you at no upfront cost to you. Don't wait another minute to see if you may qualify for your Social Security disability benefits. Call Pinnacle Disability Group at 800-593-7491 for your free case evaluation. That's 800-593-7491. 800-593-7491. Call now.
It has been said that everyone has a book in them, but do you have the time or the ability to write your book? Maybe you picked up some skills or had a life experience that you want to pass on in the form of a book to help others. Maybe you want to leave an autobiography for your family. Or maybe you've built a successful business and you want to share your story. At Dorrance Publishing Company, we have professional writers who can help turn your book idea into a finished manuscript quickly and affordably. A Dorrance ghostwriter can provide as much or as little help as you need to complete your book. You'll work directly with your ghostwriter to finish your book faster than you ever could on your own. It's easy to become a published author. Call Dorrance now to learn more.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. Call right now. That number is 800-485-6003.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Jay Mariotti has joined us here in the studio on Sports Byline. We're talking about his career and also about journalism, both print and broadcast as well. You were in Detroit. You were also in Denver. You were in New York as well. And I'm just wondering, do you see any difference in the way sports is reported in different areas, different parts of the country, different cities?
Yeah, but I think, again, I think the web has changed everything. I think now, even if you're in San Diego, 25 years ago in San Diego, you would get no hard-hitting coverage whatsoever. Now, because what the internet has done is create, it's shrunk the world and it's made everything into a national story. Even if you're sitting in Sacramento, the Rajon Rondo story right now is a national story. Whereas 20 years ago, if that had happened or something had happened in Sacramento, it may be confined to Sacramento. There would have been more cheerleading media back in the day, Ron. I don't think cheerleading media can exist anymore. Either you are employed by the ball clubs, and there is so much of that now simply because they have their own public relations arms, they have their own websites, and they go out and hire writers. The Giants have a a writer who's a good one, somebody who used to work in the industry. So it's almost as if we used to cover the industry. Now there are, I'd say, half the sports media are part of the industry. We're not supposed to be part of the industry. We're supposed to be independently detached and cover it for the readers, the listeners, the viewers. But right now, these teams, the franchises, the leagues have wisened up on their end. We're going to go and create our own web products so that we can send out our messages the way we prefer. And we're going to at least give people an option that this is our message. And if you don't want to read that local paper and you'd rather read just our spin on things, we're going to give it to you. To me, in the last 20 years, that's what has changed the most. And it's really not a matter of whether you're in New York, Chicago, Seattle, San Francisco, Phoenix, Sacramento, Kansas City. I think now the sports media is pretty tough everywhere, and it has to be, simply because if you're in Kansas City covering the Royals, maybe a bad topic because they won the World Series. But if you're in Kansas City and your columnist has to be tough on an owner of the Chiefs, you have to now, or else I don't think your audience is going to give you any credibility.
You had an aha moment when you were in Chicago. You were in Beijing. You were covering the Olympics there, and you'd been writing there in Chicago for a long time, and all of a sudden you saw something different. What was that?
My newspaper had not adjusted to the web. Back in about 2002, I told the Chicago Sun-Times, always a struggling number two paper against the behemoth, the Tribune, when are we going to do something, launch something in regard to the World Wide Web? Well, you can't monetize that. I said, fine, but you have to position yourself as, and maybe who am I? I'm just a sports columnist. Say, get away, kid. You know, and I was still young at the time. And I told them, we're going to have to at some point have a pretty sophisticated web site, at least in sports, to be able to compete with the Tribune, because they will and others will. 6 years later, they promised me after signing a contract, yeah, we'll get it moving. Sign your contract, go to Beijing, come back, and hopefully you will be pleased with what we do in Beijing with your material there. Michael Phelps was winning, Ron, you know, gold medals, history. Take 7-8 hours to see it on the website there, and I'm in the middle of the night in China calling it. Why isn't it there? The White Sox scores, the Cubs scores there. Where's ours? They didn't care. So politely, I went back and resigned, and all hell broke loose. I had no idea. I didn't know it would create the storm it did there, but maybe I just sort of penetrated a weakness of theirs. They knew that deep down we never really started this website. And I think they were upset that the Tribune got wind of it, and I talked to them about it, but I'm going to be honest with people. I'm not on my own paper, spin it. Somebody calls me, I'm a news subject like anybody else. I'm going to give them the truth of why I left, and I did, and storm happened, and that was 8 years ago. So,
are newspapers a dead business in your mind?
I think that day they died. In fact, my comment was this paper died effectively because we did not adjust with another attempt to disseminate our information on the Internet. Why would you want to confine it to that print product? I mean, to this day, newspapers, here's the problem, Ron. Newspapers still have loyal advertisers such as department stores that on a Sunday will still buy that block advertising in print. But nobody has figured out how to monetize that sort of thing, the department store, on a Sunday on the Internet. It's still the digital advertising end of the media business is still very blurry. It's hard to understand. They're not monetizing it. So print newspaper, even the New York Times, which I believe is losing money digitally, even though they have a sophisticated product, you know, Sundays is where they make their money. And if you open the New York Times on a Sunday to page 2 and 3, they're those big jewelry store ads. And that's how they make their money. So, yeah, to answer your question, are they dead? If they adjust to the fact that in the 21st century, they are not just newspapers, they are news gathering organizations, they're content creators, then they don't have to be dead. Then they just put their content on the Internet. But the actual physical print newspaper without an accompanying website that is good and healthy and has a chance to sustain down the road, yeah, dead. Chicago Sun-Times, dead, just barely hanging on. And, you know, what I did coming to San Francisco was I was hoping to, you know, regenerate a paper that was pretty much dead with a website, trying to accompany a pretty creative daily print product. And we'll see where it goes. I'm happy where we are so far. But you have to, you can't give up on other places to distribute your content or you will be dead in the water.
You know, it's kind of interesting. My friends, and you have a lot of them as well, that are either SIDs or they're PR directors for teams, for sports teams as well. And they really lament how things have changed because they're really firemen in a sense, because some blogger has said something that's not based on fact at all. They've got to put out that fire.
Yeah, well, if I would talk, and I know some of these guys, and sometimes I say, just ignore it. The problem is, it's who the blogger knows. And what's happened is we have enough of these renegade sites out there that have gained a little bit of momentum simply because you've got some British billionaire, for instance, running Gawker Media and deciding, well, I'm going to hire a bunch of kids for a couple of bucks, and I'm going to tell them, go get that athlete in the hot tub. And unfortunately, you got enough young readers, and I have kids, and I try to tell them, stay away from those sites. But you know, how do you tell young people what to do? They don't necessarily want to read the New York Times because I think that's old stuffy paper. They'd rather read the younger website put together by younger people who are being told by some entrepreneur, go write anything, get your hits, get us traffic. That's what creates this. I wish I could tell your SID friends, some of it, just ignore it. It's just its own little world, but be over here. You're almost giving them credence if you do put out a fire.
But, you know, the legitimate journalists are the ones that go and say, by the way, I saw this on the internet, and so therefore, can you give me a reaction to that? Because they almost have to, because their editors are going to say something.
Editors, bingo. Yeah. Well, you got to have a good editor like me. I'm an editor now, and I would never tell my reporters. I tell my reporters, ignore. Now, do sometimes they find, you know, little nuts in a pile? Yeah. I mean, sometimes somebody gets lucky and they get a good story. But the vast majority of some of this junk on these websites is just that. And even sometimes when they unearth certain things, they're just so far off the wall, the way some of these stories have been handled coming down the pike. They'll get a little nugget of information as true, and then they blow it out to where it's not even recognizable in any sort of truth. So, yeah, again, that's how the internet has changed the industry. Here I am lamenting the fact that my former newspaper never really got into it heavily, and yet I'm also telling you on the other end, look how it's been abused by reckless wannabe journalists.
Does it scare you a little bit to think where we might be in another 5 or 10 years?
5 minutes? What could happen? I have no idea. You know, I have bigger concerns about the internet, like not that we'll get into it here, but World War III being on the internet. That's my concern. But yes, in regard to sport, our little world of sports journalism, I'm very concerned because the finest writers of our generation, and I think any generation, 3 centuries from now, good writing should still be highly respected by the masses and will be. But if the companies, the media companies, don't respect it and you're just hiring sports guys for effect, then where is it all going? I think the best writers are going to disappear.
Jay Mariotti is with us here in the studio. When we come back on the other side, I'm going to talk to him about some of the athletes that he has dealt with and also a little bit about ESPN because he was a major part of ESPN, of course, on the show Around the Horn. We do that as we continue across the country and around the world on Sports Byline.
I've recently discovered the powerful health benefits of CBD oil. I have been using New Leaf Natural CBD oil for some time now, and I love it. CBD oil is non-intoxicating, which makes it ideal for people like me. I want the health benefits of cannabinoids, but I don't smoke weed. I never will smoke weed. Mind-altering effects I do not need. CBD is non-toxic, has potent pain-relieving, and is anti-inflammatory with its properties as well, and that's why the brand I trust the most is New Leaf Naturals. New Leaf Naturals is the highest quality CBD oil on the market, 100% organic, highly concentrated, no additives, grown in the U.S. The only ingredient is hemp. It is pure and simple. Go to NewLeafNaturals.com. That's NewLeafNaturals.com. Save 30% and receive free shipping in the U.S. when you use the promo code Rick. That's right, Rick. Go to NULeafNaturals.com, promo code Rick.
You'll do it right to make your home look its best, indoors and out. Lowe's does it right, too, because we're the only national home center that carries Purdy paintbrushes and rollers, the number one brand preferred by pros. So if it's good enough for pro jobs, you can be sure it can take on yours.
for your outdoors. Update your patio furniture and save big with up to 25% off patio clearance items. Whatever your next project, do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offer valid through 6/26. Selection varies by location while supplies last. U.S. only.
Attention. This important consumer alert is brought to you by Annuity Action Network. Hey, did you know it's possible to receive upfront money from your monthly settlement payments? It's true. If you receive monthly payments from an annuity or a structured settlement and you need a lump sum immediately, then you need to call Annuity Action Network. With your cash today, you can pay off credit card debt, pay medical bills, fund your education, or improve your home. You don't need to wait. Call the Annuity Action Network now to get your fast cash with no hidden costs. And if you call today, we'll even send you a $100 cash gift card just for verifying your settlement payments and your contact information. If you have a structured settlement or an annuity and you want cash now, call Annuity Action Network right now.
800-514-9170. 800-514-9170. That's 800-514-9170.
The backyard's looking great, Rob.
Thanks, man. I was planning on adding a deck, too. Know any good contractors?
Why don't you just ask HomeAdvisor?
Home what?
HomeAdvisor.com. You just tell them about your project, and they match you with local pros that can do the job.
Nice. Now, how much does it cost?
Oh, HomeAdvisor's totally free to use. Plus, you can read customer reviews, check pricing, and book appointments for free.
What's the website again?
HomeAdvisor.com. Or just download the free HomeAdvisor app. HomeAdvisor.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Jay Mariotti has joined us here on Sports Byline USA. We're talking about his career, about sports broadcasting, sports writing as well. I mentioned about ESPN. Now, tell me a little bit about how you got involved, and especially Around the Horn. What was the philosophy on that show and the general philosophy at ESPN? I was there after the 49ers won that first Super Bowl, and I was one of those guys in the field for ESPN covering the 49ers on draft day. It was just kind of a freelance type of thing, and it was, you know, you've heard all the stories.
I think everybody has worked at ESPN. How did I end up at ESPN? Well, it was interesting because I was something of a critic of ESPN because at one point they gave me a radio TV column. I was one of those vaunted radio TV columnists, and I tried to do it right, and if I were doing a piece on you, we'd do an interview, and we'd listen to your show. But anyway, one day, I'm having success in Chicago, and I'm probably the biggest voice in town, and Pardon the Interruption had been a hit, and Mark Shapiro started that at ESPN, these crazy shows in the afternoon. What are these crazy shows? Well, when that one took off, because of the chemistry of Kornheiser and Michael Wilbon, they decided, let's do a sequel. Well, like Melrose Place or 90210, the sequel is always rudely treated. And I didn't know that at the time, but I get wined and dined, and they bring in Bob Ryan from Boston and T.J. Simers from L.A. and this Woody Page from Denver, and they bring us all to the Carnegie Deli in New York. And Jim Cohn of ESPN, an old newspaper guy, was the producer behind it, and he said, just talk. What do you mean, just talk? We knew each other, but not enough to, we're too polite. And then so we start doing rehearsals, and they were already advertising Around the Horn coming October 28th on the network. And finally, at the end of a week of rehearsals, Shapiro comes in and says, you guys aren't ready. We're going to delay this week, which was the death knell. You don't do that. So we suddenly aren't on the day we're supposed to be on. Then the show comes on, and we were just not clicking. We're getting ripped apart by our peers. I'm starting to think, I thought that guy liked me. He hates me, obviously. And now all of a sudden I'm on the other end of it. It was a healthy experience for me, as other things have happened to me. A very healthy experience to be covered for the first time instead of doing the covering. And I learned a lot about fairness. I learned a lot about accuracy and how people aren't accurate quite a bit. Pick up the phone and call me. There's not enough of that going on. Yeah, I learned. But the show eventually kind of turned for the better when one day the chemistry that these shows have to develop between me and Paige. Paige, born in Memphis, older than I am, kind of a character, doesn't necessarily get names right, just kind of woke up out of bed. Me, coming from Pittsburgh, Italian guy, we clashed every day, but it was naturally. I would say things like, "Do your homework, Woody." You know, "You shut up." And next thing you know, it's this, the ratings are going up. Not because we're forcing, it's because you're not getting the name right, and he doesn't like the fact I'm calling it out. All of a sudden, 16, 17, 18 consecutive quarters, they've got a hit show on their hands that led perfectly in the Pardon the Interruption, and to this day allows them to call it the Power Hour or whatever they call it. They are making a fortune off these two shows. I can tell you the guys working on Around the Horn aren't making that much. The guys at PTI are. But the point is, a successful show with good chemistry, with the news of the day, which anybody will watch, because any guy, any woman, anybody out there who loves sports will sit there and say, "I agree with you, not him." This Stephen A. Skip thing that people don't like, well, the ratings are terrific. That's another money machine for them. And those are two guys that you love to pick for or against. I'll take you in that argument. And that formula, Ron, will never fail. We'll be talking three centuries from now, whatever the medium is at that point. And two people debating a topic will always be successful as long as they're not phony about it and as long as it's vibrant and lively and they have some sort of idea what they're talking
about. Yeah, you're absolutely right about that because, you know, you're going to get 10 people who like you and 10 people who don't. And that's exactly what they're looking for in that particular dynamic. The thing that surprises me the most, and I have to laugh, Jay, every time I see it, when I watch a Sports Center or any of those shows, I think to myself, did they just go into a huge room, a big ballroom, and say, "Okay, you're the one that's going to be on this show"? I mean, they've got so much talent now, and the politics in that atmosphere must be unbelievable.
Well, ours weren't. Ours became a pretty smooth-running machine because we were in different cities. We weren't in Bristol. I was in Chicago. I'd walk into a cool studio. It was just me and the producer putting the headset on. And, you know, it was well run by people out of D.C., very good people. And we were detached. We were with ESPN, but we weren't. And that's, I think if we were actually in Bristol, they'd probably have their paws on us a lot more. There were a couple of occasions in my 8 years there where they told us, "You can't say this." One was about their beloved soccer. We started we'd get into pretty vigorous debates. I've been one who, you know, I played soccer in high school, but I'm also one who knows it's a slow crawl for popularity in this country. And I would always be that guy taking that stance. "Hey, look, let's not go overboard about this World Cup thing. They just won one game." Well, the word from Bristol would come down, "Slow down on soccer. We're trying to sell soccer." Whoa, 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 whoa. Conflict of interest. The other one was college football. When they started investing in college football, when we were very critical of the BCS, they told us, "Stop criticizing the BCS." What do I tell my readers in Chicago? What about when I write about it tomorrow? That's come up quite a bit where in the paper I would write something, or and I'd end up on the radio show in Chicago, I'd be told, "Don't talk about what you wrote in the paper today." Well, it's already in the paper. Well, don't talk about it on these airwaves. These are the conflicts of interest that ultimately are going to kill this industry. Because if you're not believable and the audience detects that you're inconsistent in your opinions, perhaps because somebody's telling you to say this on this entity, whereas you're free and easy on this side of things, you're going to lose all your cred. So the people who run this industry had better be very, very careful in allowing their people to have freedom, not too much freedom. Don't let them be reckless and irresponsible and get you sued. But let your people speak to the masses without any interference from your corporate entities. And unfortunately, too many sports radio shows, TV stations, networks are locked into deals with teams and leagues. Therefore, the whole Bill Simmons thing at ESPN, and that was always my problem in Chicago, is I'm always getting into quote-unquote trouble because I'm upsetting some owner. Well, why? Why? Because I'm not on his payroll? That's the problem with our industry.
Yeah, the journalistic independence is always very important. Let me ask you a little bit about athletes and how sports and the media in general has changed relationship between those that cover sports and interacting with them. I remember once I had a confrontation with Vida Blue after he'd gotten taken out of a game.
Of course, he's in the media now.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll never forget, I got down there before the media came in, and he's pointing his finger in my chest saying, "I'm not talking to the media." I said, "Vida, you've never been misquoted in a radio or a television interview." And the written media came in and said, "Oh, was he pushing you?" I said, "No, he wasn't pushing me, you know." But I'm just wondering how it has changed. How have you seen it change, Jay?
Well, I don't want to throw a big blanket over it because I have the privilege of covering Curry, who will give anybody a one-on-one interview. I can't, to this day, nothing has changed this guy, and a lot has happened in his life in the last year. And if you showed up or I showed up tomorrow for shoot around, I'll talk to you. One-on-one. This is unheard of in this day and
but
age.
But that starts at the top with his parents and his family.
True, and the organization is still in a situation where they're lobbying for an arena here. There's still a lot going on. But he'll keep doing that. He'll never change.
No.
But what happens to some athletes is they get burned along the way, and then Derek Jeter starts something going with the Players Tribune, and I don't blame them. If I'm an athlete who has been burned even once, and I have something important to say, like Kobe when he decided to retire, I understand completely why Kobe Bryant would use a forum that's not going to touch a thing he does unfiltered and allow that to become his initial statement about his retirement. And you know what? That worked for him. He's been a very polarizing athlete for 20 years. That night, everybody seemed to be, wow, Kobe's retiring. He pulled it off. He soft-toed it. And suddenly a very hardened athlete through the years gave us a soft look at his inner emotions. That forum worked for him. It probably would have worked for your show. It would have worked in my column. Probably not, because I would have been the one writing column. Well, I wouldn't have misquoted him. I couldn't have done 1/100th as good a job as conveying what he wanted than what he did in his own Players Tribune site. So that's how it's changed, Ron. They dictate the terms. They have Twitter. They have Instagram. They don't need us. That's how it's changed.
Who are some of your favorite athletes over the years that you've been covering sports?
Jordan, Curry, Pete Rose. I've been fortunate to be in towns right at the Pete Rose came down the last couple of days, and I'm telling somebody as we're watching this morning, you know, I'm in that clubhouse and I'm 25 years old and these scumbag gamblers are hanging out. I mean, I was there for that. We even had nicknames for these scumbags in the clubhouse. I was there when John Elway was losing Super Bowls badly. I was there at the beginning of the Jordan era to the very end of the Jordan era, even the Jordan era in Washington. So, and those are all favorite times. And this Warriors, what I believe is going to be a dynasty, is also fun too. But they're all different. Jordan was very moody. I mean, he'd scream at me, but he'd give me a great interview after he'd be done screaming. So I'd take the screaming, and then he'd give me something nobody else had. They were all different in their own way. And some people you have to back off of, some people you have no relationships, some people you have surprising relationships with. As a columnist, much like you, it's a lot different than a beat guy who has to stay pretty tight with people or else he's going to lose out on access and stories. So it's a very complicated industry, but I've had a very rewarding career.
One other area I want to touch on before we wrap this up, and that is the fact that it used to be in business that if you didn't create a good product, you were probably going to go out of business. People wouldn't buy the product. It seems now that it's a little bit like in 2008 when the banks almost all collapsed. Some of them were too big to fail. Have we gotten to that point in sports where the leagues are making so much money, it doesn't matter whether the team puts a good product on the field, on the court or not, they're still going to make a lot of money?
Leagues in business with major media entities equals decades and decades of staying power. That's why, I mean, the NBA just signed, a $24 billion deal with ESPN? $24 billion? Yes, that means ESPN, even though the unbundling of cable has cost them subscribers and they've lost some high-priced talent, and they're going to become pretty wishy-washy, I think, in what they do editorially. But ESPN will be around forever. Not forever, but as long as you and I are alive, then. Because they've been smart enough to cut big deals. They pretty much own and operate college football, even though they're at odds with the NFL. The NFL needs ESPN and vice versa. So Fox, NBC, CBS, ESPN, and the leagues are all in bed with each other. And thank God there are people like you and out there to cover them instead of being in that same bed.
I always like, we got 2 minutes left, I always like to ask someone when I interview them about, when they sit back and they think about their career or the things that they've done, what is it that, you know, is ingrained in Jay Mariotti's mind that he kind of smiles about a little bit?
I don't know. I guess I smile at the fact that to this day, people think I'm nuts. Why do you write every day? Because I enjoy it. Don't you take time off? Yeah, I take time off, but it's something I enjoy doing every day. I'm probably, and I don't say this in any backpatting way, but I'm as prolific as anybody when it comes to the actual amount of material I put out because I enjoy it that much, and that brings a smile to my face. I don't enjoy ticking people off. It's a hazard of the job. You have to do it. But I smile because I've had lasting power, as you have, by the way, in a business where you shouldn't really have lasting power. So many things can happen to people. And I would tell you that I'm proud that I've kept that fire going from age 18 until I'm in my mid-50s.
Is there any one particular story that you wrote that really means a lot to you?
Wow. There have been a lot for different reasons. I mean, obviously when you've been at major events in world sport, national sport, I've been fortunate enough to be at most of them. Those championship games, those Michael Jordan moments, those Steph Curry moments, those are all memorable. I've had breaking stories. I broke the story when Jordan came back to basketball in a parking lot in Chicago. He had just finished a workout, told me and a guy from the AP, I'm coming back. We go back, we write the story. There are TV trucks. I was doing a radio show in Chicago. I'll do this quickly. In the next morning, I'm doing a radio show, and all the media people are there because they want to talk to me about Jordan coming back to basketball. Then all of a sudden, right mid-morning, early morning, they all leave. You know why? Because something called 9/11 happened that morning, and it made me realize what you do, Jay, enjoy it, but it's not the be-all, end-all of life.
You have an open seat here anytime you want to come in, my friend. I loved this conversation, and I hope it was insightful for the people around the world that get a chance to listen. Take care, Jay.
I've always been a fan, Ron. Thank you.
Jay Mariotti, again, sports director and columnist at the San Francisco Examiner. We continue with more of you.
World Sports Memorabilia and World Games present the biggest event of the summer, Super World Con, at the Santa Clara Fairgrounds in San Jose. Meet 49ers legend Joe Montana, Mr. Primetime Deion Sanders, Patrick Willis, George Kittle, Frank Gore, and other 49ers. Baseball superstars Orlando Cepeda, Ricky Henderson, and Jose Canseco. Boxing greatness Julio Cesar Chavez, Juan Manuel Marquez, Eric El Terrible Morales, and Marco Antonio Barrera. Also, live lucha libre with Mexican superstar Juventud Guerrera, Lucha Underground, Drago, Puma King, Mecha Wolf, and many more. Also, the voices of Dragon Ball Z and the Sandlot Gang, June 28, 29, and 30th at the Santa Clara Fairgrounds in San Jose. Tickets, superworldcon.com or calling 408-286-2151. 408-286-2151.
Remember in the beginning when you first started to build a life for you and your family? You never imagined it would come to this. Instead of living your dreams, you're living with debt. In fact, it's smothering you. Now there's a way you can take back control with one simple call. If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you qualify to receive a free, no-obligation consultation on how to get rid of that debt for good. Call the Debt Helpline now. We work on your behalf to reduce your debt. We specialize in credit cards, retail store cards, and medical bills. One simple call is all it takes to get the ball rolling to a debt-free life. Stop living with debt and start living your dreams. Call the Debt Helpline now.
800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. That's 800-957-6063.
Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Clapper, Chief of Orthopedic Surgery at Cedars-Sinai Medical Group in Los Angeles, California. Dedicated to your health, your life, and your sports. As a weekend warrior, you know about sports injuries and pain. Exercise is an important element in keeping your body's core in good shape to minimize sports injuries. But when you are in pain, there is one product that I recommend to my patients, and that is Blue Goo Gel. Blue Goo consists of a proprietary formula developed specifically for the treatment of inflammation and general muscle aches and strains. I recommend Blue Goo for my patients coping with hip and knee pain before surgery, especially bursitis and tendonitis. Give Blue Goo a try. Call 1-888-330-0123 and you'll receive a 1 week supply of Blue Goo absolutely free. The makers of Blue Goo are even paying the shipping. The number again is 1-888-330-0123. If you want more information on Blue Goo, visit online at www.dothegoo.com.
Now available at select Big Five stores near you.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Jay Mariotti with us here on this hour of Sports Byline. I hope you enjoyed it. He spent 17 years as a columnist for the Chicago Sun-Times, 8 years as a regular panelist on the ESPN Sports Talk program Around the Horn. Of course, he's been in Detroit. He's been in Colorado. He's been in Cincinnati. He's a very, very talented journalist. Be sure to check out the award-winning Sports Byline USA website at sportsbyline.com. And don't forget, we have a lot of great interviews up there on the website as well. So check it out. Again, sportsbyline.com. I'm Ron Barr. Thanks for being a part of America's Sports Talk Show.
Freaks of Speed and Motorheads. It's Kenny Sargent with Speed Freaks. Be sure to catch Crash Gladys, Statman, and yours truly every Sunday night, 7 to 9 Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern. That's right, Speed Freaks on the Sports Byline Radio Network.
If you missed something from today's show, you can find it now on iHeartRadio Talk. That's iHeartRadio.com/talk. A special news and update station you control. Follow us on iHeartRadio Talk and stay in touch 24/7.